Welcome to episode 88 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Join in as Brent Cassino, rotating panel of guests, and myself, Ian Levesque, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. It's been a couple of weeks, so time to have another review corner, and this one's extra long. Why? Because books are late. Blame it on the fact that books are late. Also blame it on the fact that Ralph is here. Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name is Ian Levesque, and welcome to episode 88 of Comic Timing. We're here with another review corner. Yay, review corner! And I'm joined yet again by the co-host, not co-host, co-host, who is getting closer and closer to graduation. It is Brent Cassino. What's going on, Brent?
Brent got a job.
Really?
Yeah, in Orlando, not Maryland like we were talking about at MegaCon, but Orlando, so.
You bastard.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you're going to MegaCon again.
No. I'll have money. I'll be going to Super Show, hopefully.
Wow, dude. So like, what is it, like something big, like actual, like good paying and all that shit?
Yeah, yeah. It's $50,000 a year or so. And then, but that jumps up in 6 months and so on and so forth after that. So
great. So you're going to be making a significantly more amount of money than me or Raph.
Yeah, so I can actually treat you guys to dinner.
Oh, that's going to be great.
You know, I love you.
Once in a weekend, not all weekend.
Have I ever told you how much I love you?
Just now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you trying to Brandonize him?
Yeah, I know, right?
You're so
well, I mean, I wanted the job so bad because the other day I was listening to the Sporting Goods that somehow ended up on our feed, and it just kept talking about New York shit, so I just had to turn it off and go find a job, and lo and behold, one found me, and I took it. So
damn it! Son of a bitch. Well, on the bright side, I should be starting a five-day-a-week job in another week if things work out well, so I'll have that for a couple months at least until I got to look for something else.
Good. And I have nothing.
He, except for his job at that place he works, and it's Raph Suhu. What's going on, Raph?
Things go around in orbit of the planet.
Are you taking over the world? You've done Wired and CNN. What's next?
Yeah, I think this is where Obama abdicates the throne to me, and I become savior of the universe now. I think so. I'm pretty sure. That's what my agent told me. My agent is my sock.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it like,
check out Oceanverse.
Is it like Ed the Sock? Like Yamooks?
It's more like George the Sock. And he's sort of not proud of his Jewish background, so I have to talk him back into... Just be proud of who you are, man.
Oh, see, I thought you were making a subtle George Takei reference there for a minute.
I wasn't.
Okay. Hi, Raph.
All right, yeah, that's serious conversation. Let's go, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. You're on a review corner episode, so that means we're actually going to be reviewing things, and we're going to try our best not to get this all laden with curses like the last review corner we did, because we're not in the same room, and it's a little harder to play off of one another.
Well, that's we're not right, talking assholes. About Grant Morrison Final Crisis either.
That is very true, yeah.
That's right, assholes. You heard us, you fuckers.
And in the future, Raph, you don't have to bleep out all the curses in the Sporting Goods, man, all right? Even though that was fun.
Fuck yeah.
All right. Let's get that out of the way. Now, we are indeed sponsored yet again by Heroes Corner, heroescorner.com, and we will insert in the Heroes Corner promo once we have it, as it's still in between time here. I'll send it off to Brent, and this is exactly what it sounds like.
Hey, everybody, just here to give you the rundown of our picks for this month. Marvel, we have Runaways Season 3, number 11, written by some Eminem and art by some girl. It's classified, so I don't remember who it is. They announced it, but I say I can't find it, so there you have it for that. Regular price $2.99, Heroes Corner $1.50. That's a 50% off savings. DC, we got Hellblazer $2.56. We've never read Hellblazer, so join us on this. Special price is 75 cents. And also, Land of the Lost, number 1. From Arcana Studio Press, writer Sean O'Reilly, Tony Lee, art by various, regular price $3.95, Heroes Corner price $1.98. So come join us for those, and we'll see you next month.
Wow, wasn't that captivating?
I might just put it in before that, so it fucks all that up.
I hate you so much.
Oh,
boy. But yeah, go ahead and check that out, and I'm pretty sure the promo code is yet again CTROCKS, at CTROCKS, so get an additional 5% off on your order with HeroesCorner.com. First-time users of the site only. And this will come out after Raph and I have been to our first game at New Yankee Stadium, and we'll be very happy to listen to things. Huzzah.
Yes.
I had to put in that one New York reference there. All right, so this episode, we as I mentioned in the opening, we are going to be reviewing not one, not two, not five, but four books. As a bunch of books were late, a bunch of books are still late, so we're going to do our best to try and catch up here. We've got Azrael, Death's Dark Knight, which is Brent's pick.
Woohoo!
We've got War of Kings, Darkhawk, which is Raph's pick.
Woohoo!
We've got Caped, which is really nobody's pick, but we read it. Woohoo! And yay! And we've got the prequel to The Messiah War.
That's chapter one.
Oh, chapter one. Pardon moi. Excuse me. Well, the rest of it's just taking place in X-Force and Cable, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the one shot that starts everything off.
Kicks it off.
Huzzah!
Into high gear.
Hoo-ha.
So why don't we go into that first?
All right, if I can remember where my issue was. I just had it a minute ago. Hold on, one second.
You just said you grabbed it.
I did.
Oh. Fam.
Cock.
It actually fell on the floor directly next to me. Okay, fine.
Oh, well.
Well first off, which cover did everybody get?
I got the Choi cover with the little girl on the front, which I liked.
I casually flipped through it at work and don't remember things.
Nicely done.
Thanks.
Yeah, I got the
for paying attention.
I got the Choi cover as well as opposed to the Carrie Andrews. I actually avoided all the Carrie Andrews covers because they didn't really look that good to me.
It looked like grimy. Like
yeah.
They had painted it and then taken a bunch of dirt and just smothered it over. And then kind of, you know, took a picture of it and then colored all the dirt black.
Well, I think
called
the,
it a cover.
I think the issue itself was better than that, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man.
A whole bunch of stuff happening in here. This is all playing off of what happened in Cable and in X-Force. Are you reading either of those?
Illegally, yes.
Illegally. Okay, all right. So you're all caught up on both of them then.
Yes, and I'm really enjoying... I don't know, actually. This is like the first issue that I've really enjoyed out of any of them. Cable's kind of gotten off to a slow start, I thought.
Okay.
I haven't read 13 yet.
Well, you know, it
just came out the other day.
Neither did I, so that's fine. I also didn't pick up I didn't read the most recent X-Force that happened directly before this, because I didn't realize I had to read it before I read this.
Oh, well, you didn't miss much.
Yeah, I know.
Basically, they were saving somebody, and Cyclops pressed the button like he did in this issue and transported him to the future, and that's where it ended and said, go to this issue that we're going to review right here.
Cyclops was all like, Marty, we have to go to the future!
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That was that, yeah.
X-Force is I've been kind of lost on because I don't know who the villains are.
Yeah, see, the X-Force villains are all villains from the X-Men's past, most of which were dead.
Well, I got that, but okay. I've never been exposed to them before.
Oh, all right, okay. So you've never actually read the, what the hell was it, Claremont's thing that led into X-Men 2?
God Love, Man Kills?
Yeah,
no.
Thank you. So you never read that. Okay, but you saw X-Men 2.
I saw the movie.
All right, okay. So you know a little
bit. I knew
bit.
Who Stryker was, but mm-hmm. the robot dude and this lady of killers or whatever, Saint of Killers. Mm-hmm. I don't know, whoever the lady with the messed up face
Leper
and the mask.
Queen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never heard of her before either.
I've never really had much of a exposure
but she was
to her.
Cruel as hell in the last issue.
No pun intended on the exposure.
Okay, yeah.
Wait. So that means you expose yourself to Brent?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
We're just gonna leave that alone. This is why you know we don't invite people on here on Review Corners because it goes so much more smoothly than regular episodes.
Well, okay, Raph. What do you remember from what you read? I mean, what did you think from the flip through?
It's certainly interesting. I mean, well, I've been reading Cable at work, and I've been reading X-Force on and off. I mean, it's been a year since Messiah Complex ended, and really, we're finally getting to see, like, what the hell is going to happen with this kid, and, you know, what, finally, after a year, Cyclops goes, the kid's been missing for a while. Maybe I should go check on it.
Well, the whole Cable arc definitely picked up once the kid started aging a little bit and actually had a personality, because when it was just Cable talking to himself with just internal monologue, that was going slow. So I would agree with Brent's assessment to the book that it did start off a little slow and then got picked up, mostly because, yet again, like I just said, Cable wasn't the only one talking anymore.
Yeah. Well, I'm loving the Ariel Olivetti art. I like how I like how Hope is a little girl now rather than just a baby.
Yeah.
And I like how it's, you know, as he's moving through the time stream, we're not, like, stagnant with him. You know, we're coming in at different points of his life. So this has actually been a lot longer for Cable than it has been for everybody else. Yeah. So I like that part about the series.
And don't forget, it's nice that Hope actually has a name.
Well, it's nice that she has a name, but I think the reason, you know, it's nice that she's a character now rather than an object, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll certainly agree with that. And especially, like, I mean, I picked up the, as well, because I've been so invested with the whole Cable thing, I also picked up the Time and Life of Lucas...
No, I haven't picked those up.
Yeah, the Time and Life of Lucas Bishop. Yeah, there we go. With the horrible, horrible Larry Stroman art, which was a little better than his X Factor stuff, but it's still impossible to read. But the story itself is decent, so I guess that makes up for it. But that was pretty good for his backstory. I like what's going on with Bishop in that as well. But now we have a brand new villain to deal with as villains go. And, well, it's sort of Cable, but sort of not. As everybody knows, Strife is back. And I say I'm shocked they took this long to bring him back.
I mean, I've never read Executioner's Song. I guess this is his last appearance or something. But he's all new to me.
He's been around. Like, I mean, he's been in the books occasionally as a villain, like past Executioner's Song. But he was supposed to have died, like, you know, every other X-Men villain.
Is he a Liefeld thing?
He is he's a Liefeld creation, I'm pretty sure.
So is Cable.
Well, so is Cable, right, yeah.
As much as I know about Strife was what they had in the profile in the back of the book, which, you know, I thought was kind of nice. But that's about it.
Yeah.
He's a clone.
Yes, he is. And that's why everybody thought, oh, shit, Cable killed Professor Xavier. And then, oh, no, don't worry about it. It was just his evil clone. Yippee-ki-yay.
Motherfucker.
But all right, let's go into the issue itself. First off, my first comment on this issue, and I know it's a little later on, but Deadpool was the best part of this entire issue.
Yes, he. I don't know about the best part, but he was certainly refreshing. And I've never read any Deadpool, so this is kind of fun to read. And I'll be like, oh, that's why they call him Mark with the Mouth. So I'm gonna guess from this issue that this is how Deadpool should be written. Hey, this is a correct interpretation of the character.
Wolverine, are you? Yes, he is. Wolverine, are you a telepath now? Because I can feel you in my head.
That was hilarious.
And him throwing out lines about, like, I have Travel Connect 4. I'm like, okay, yeah.
I have Travel Connect 4. Awesome. I love that thing.
Yeah. No, Kyle and Yas definitely got Deadpool down right. And this is pretty much the way he's been portrayed in his book that Daniel Way's been writing, which I've actually been enjoying. And the fact that I enjoy a Daniel Way book shocks and awes me, because that's never happened before. But I guess even bad writers write good things on occasion.
It's the end of the world.
Apparently, yeah. But no, that was a lot of fun, and so was this whole thing. I mean, the X-Force, I mean, if you've been reading X-Force up until now, like you mentioned, they were taken away from a different fight and then thrown into the future like this. So they weren't expecting to be there, and then they first have to get their entire, like, mind onto the prize here, which is get Cable and get him back before something bad goes wrong. And certainly a hell of a lot of bad stuff is going on here because, well, Strife's got his whole thing going on. He's got his whole, like, basically, like, forming an army again, which seems to be what he does every single place he goes. And basically they got to save this barren future along with getting Cable back, stop Strife, make sure that Bishop doesn't screw things up also. Whole lot of stuff going on here. I think this is a pretty damn good sequel to Messiah Complex. Agree, disagree?
Agreed. I loved Messiah Complex, and this has got me hooked. I want to read what's next. And I wasn't the biggest fan of the Mike Choi art in X-Force, mm-hmm. but whatever he did, at least in like these first couple pages and some others throughout here where it looks like it's more pencil shaded and stuff, looks fantastic. Like the shot of Cable in the first couple pages where he's standing with the baby.
Yeah.
It's just pure magic to me. Like, that is amazing. But I know that, you know, half of it is his color artist, Sonia Obak.
Yeah. Because
I know he's not, like, the most detailed penciler ever.
Right.
But he's got some skills.
Was Obak on his X-Force stuff also?
Yeah, I think she did the Witchblade stuff, too. I think they work, like, exclusively together.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because she knows how to make him look good. Because I've seen some of his pencils, and really, when he does it, it's just lines, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks really flat, but... You know, the way she colors it makes it look 3D rendered and makes it look nice. So,
yeah,
props to her too.
And
because I'm sure if there was a different colorist on him, then it wouldn't look half as good. Like, you know, like Maury Hollowell in that Spider-Man issue, it wasn't Maury, mm-hmm. and it didn't look half as good as it does when Maury colors him.
It was Dexter Vines, right?
No, it was I'm not talking Inker. It was Dane Stewart.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. No, I would definitely agree with that. Sorry about that. Yeah, you're right. It was Stewart. I mean, colorists. Well, okay. Artists. Damn it! I'm all flustered now because I got that wrong. Let me rephrase myself. Okay. Here we go. Blah, blah, blah. Artists are as important to a story as anything else, and if they don't have all of their players in place, you know, if you change one of them, then there goes the entire flow a lot of the times. I mean, as like you just mentioned with that Spider-Man issue, that was my least favorite of that whole arc because there was a major change, a shift in the art. Mike Choi will not be able to work without his everytime collaborator, just like, you know, when John Romita Jr. gets somebody other than Klaus Janson inking his stuff, you get those square-jawed women all over again. So that can always
I don't like Klaus Janson on Romita, but
really,
nah.
Who do you prefer?
Scott Hanna.
Okay,
that Moreland story is a favorite of mine, so there a little bit partial to that.
I just don't like Romita.
Ooh,
April Fools! Oh, too late.
Too late. Right.
You know, this would be like a week and a half when this comes out.
Yeah, seriously. So
it's gonna be like April 8th. That's totally lost, man. Sorry.
Yeah.
Fail.
Yeah. Epic.
All right. Well, first off. Fail. One thing I wanted to mention in this, because it's at the beginning, and Cable, actually Cyclops is as important to this issue as Cable or anybody else. It's totally Cyclops' fault that Emma's going to leave him.
Mm-hmm.
But Cyclops is finally cool. Like, yeah. Ever since he created X-Force and turned evil and stuff,
mm-hmm.
I am, like, liking his character. He's not a pussy anymore.
Well, I don't know if evil's the right word.
Not evil, but... to the extreme, like he's taking steps.
To the max.
He's taking steps that he's never done before. You know what I mean?
I'll give you that. Yeah. Well, he's okay. Where his line used to be, he's taken about three steps over that line. You know, now he's actually willing to kill. Even though this whole rule about X-Men don't kill was only created in like the last 10 years, because X-Men have been killing for years.
But, yeah, I'm sure Wolverine kills somebody every time they fight. So.
I know, right? I mean, come on, that's ridiculous. But now he's totally crossed that line where now he believes it's a proactive stance to take X-Force and throw them at the villains, and it doesn't matter if the villains survive, which is totally different than the way Cyclops used to work. I will say that. And it certainly brings a darker tone. I mean, look at the way that Beast is reacting to all this. I mean, he's totally out of the loop. Even though he's the guy who set up the whole time travel scenario, Cyclops didn't tell him anything about even who he was making devices for.
Yeah. He's like, what? Are you talking to me? And that whole scene, that whole dialogue there where, you know, Cyclops just has his hand to his ear, not his visor.
Mm-hmm.
That all dialogue's like recycled from their last issue of X-Force.
Okay.
And you get both sides of the conversation in that issue.
Nice. Okay.
Because you see Wolverine talking like, no, we're not done. And then... as the Wolverine's jumping to save or kill the famine lady,
mm-hmm.
whatever her name is, he presses the button and then they all disappear like that.
Gotcha. Leper Queen.
Yeah, Leper Queen.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep reminding you of her name every single time that you say something else.
I don't know. I've, you know, first time reading her, I'm not going to
remember. I know. That's fine. And what do you think of the X-Force team? Because it's a little bit of a ragtag bunch. I mean, you've got former X-Force members in there with Domino and Warpath, but... I mean, or Warbird, or whatever the hell you want to call him now.
He's Warpath, I think.
Yeah, now he's back to being War. He's Warpath, but I think Sudi's going to probably take up his brother's mantle again. And you've got Archangel involved with there. You've got guys like Elixir, who have never been on these lines before. I mean, he was a new X-Men before this, you know, a young Avenger, that sort of stuff.
I'm pretty sure he's really not supposed to be there, because he came in on one Avenger at one point, didn't he? And then he was kind of like... in there for a little bit, and then I guess he's just sticking around because he doesn't have anywhere else to go, or what?
Well, the same
so
can be said.
He's the Dante.
Yeah, he's the Dante of the group. Yeah, definitely. Well, but the thing is, though, the same thing can be said for their teleporter guy, who definitely doesn't want to be there. The only reason he's there is because Elixir put a damn tumor in his head.
It is a tumor.
Yes, that is actually true, but I mean, come on, they're totally holding him against his will, and he's forced to be good because of that. You know, he's tried to pay off Elixir like 5 times now to take the damn thing out of his head, and Elixir's like, go away?
Maybe he just wants sex.
Hesh wants sex?
Yeah, just sexual favors. Yeah. Sexual favors, get the tumor out for you?
Well,
yeah?
Dear God. You know what, Raph, go away. Sorry, we're done with you. It's over. Bye.
Can we kick him early? I can't do it. The icon shows up, but I can't do it.
Son of a bitch! All right, fine. Oh, well, he'll just have to stay there. But, and, like, this, what the hell is the name of the teleporter? Because I always forget it.
Hold on, it's in the beginning. Yeah. Vanisher. But you know what, I think his really name, really lame, his name is Telford Porter.
Oh, wow.
On the first page, it says, and I read this because I was like, what's his real name? Mm-hmm. And it says Telford Porter. And underneath it, it's like the power. It's like teleporter. I was like, wow, whoever created him in the 60s is lame.
Maybe it was Mr. Stan Lee who loves doing things like that.
Yeah.
Excelsior!
I wouldn't be surprised. It's probably either Claremont or Lee because they weren't really that good at coming up with names. But anyway, Cable. Now, this whole scenario for Cable is a little weird to me because, okay, you read Cable number 12, right?
Yeah.
And Cable number 12 seems to have left off in a very different place than where Cable is at the beginning of this issue. And I don't know whether or not that's picked up in Cable 13 because I haven't read 13 yet, but it looked like...
I thought they were in Westchester at the end of 12 or...
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. Or at least on the... No, excuse me. It said on the outskirts of Westchester. It definitely said that. And there was a cityscape in the background. And you know, it doesn't look like there's any of that cityscape there unless that's Strife's whole, you know, like, new world that he just created or something like that. Because it looked very, very different as drawn by Ariel Olivetti than what Mike Choi draws... damn it. What Mike Choi draws here. Thank you. Jesus Christ, man. I'm tongue-twisting all over the place today. But yeah, I mean, like, it was a little distracting to me with that whole situation. I mean, you guys see what I'm talking about, right? I mean, it looked like an entirely different area. So I don't know whether or not he wound up somewhere different or whether or not the artists just weren't paying attention to each other.
Yeah, or maybe they forgot the passage of time thing and sort of just said, okay, let's just put him here. Jump cut. But it doesn't tie in very well.
Quite possibly, yeah. So if you're Cable, Brent, do you go back with X-Force? Or do you stay where you currently are?
I mean, I don't know. Why not? Because he has no way to get back now. He can only move forward. So I really don't see the downside. He can go and get his arm fixed by Forge, you know?
Well, yeah, but I doubt they're going to be going to Forge after what happened in Astonishing X-Men, but that's another thing entirely.
Is he dead?
No, Forge might be evil.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. Warren Ellis, ladies and gentlemen. Talk about going out of absolutely nowhere, but that's happened with him before, so that's no big shock. But anyway,
but
yeah.
At least.
He can hopefully get his arm fixed by perhaps Beast, who just, you know, discovered time travel himself or something like that. I don't know. The point remains, you can only jump in the future so many times until you run out of time. So it's probably a good idea for him to go with X-Force.
Well, I mean, it'd be like at issue 25, he'd be at the end of time and talking to Booster Gold and the Time Masters.
Like, hey guys, how you guys doing?
And there's like a 25-year-old Hope being like, okay, this is seriously what you did. You saved me. You brought me to the end of time, and now we're just stuck here. Gee, thanks, Dad.
And it's like, so how am I going to be the savior of the universe now, douche?
So when do I get to meet a guy?
And then Bush is like, hey.
Yeah, no.
No, not at all.
Dear.
Maybe Skeets.
Well,
go ahead. Well, there's one negative to going back through time. It's easy avoided. You're going back to the time where Sentinels are in their peak and the mutants are still hated and they're hunted down. So Cable would have to go from being hunted by one person to being hunted by a few thousand. But of course, he can just get his stuff repaired, get the hell back to the future, and that'd be fine.
You do make a valid point there, but he's also probably afraid that didn't Hope like start her whole thing in Bishop's world by being with the X-Men?
Yeah, there's that too.
You know, so I mean, there's always the possibility that Hope is going to choose the wrong path, even though she's been with Cable this entire time.
Yeah,
I mean, what do you think's going to happen with Hope, Brent? For that matter, do you think Hope is Jean Grey? Because a whole bunch of people have been saying that Jean Grey might just be her, you know, reincarnated or whatever.
It might be the little red hair, but. You know, we went forward to Cable's future at some point was it was in Messiah Complex.
Yes.
Not Cable. What's his face?
Bishop's
future. Mm-hmm. And then they sent the other Madrox clone into Cable's future or some other time stream or something, mm-hmm. and he never came back. So we don't know what that is.
Yeah,
so
that's a dangling plot point that they really should have picked up on by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen, I guess.
Yeah.
Dear Peter David, pick up on it. And don't get rid of Stark
Daly
again.
You know, he might because he's doing the other dangling thingy he had with the whole Layla and the future and the missing and the bippity and the boppity.
That is true, yeah. But who knows? They are going more into Bishop's timeline in the, you know, death and life and whatever, or time and life, or... God damn it. I cannot talk tonight.
Do you need a break?
I don't know. For some reason, I'm totally off my game here for some reason. Here we go. One more time. Okay, I'm good now.
Get a drink or, you know, go get some salsa.
My salsa. All right, you know what? Fuck it, I am going to go get a drink. I'll be back.
Now batting.
It's going to be an awkward transition.
Number 22. Ian Levens.
Well, okay, you know what? I'll leave you with a question. You can just totally cut out what the fuck I just said and just go with this because this makes a hell of a lot more sense anyway. If she's not Jean Grey, is Hope just Hope Summers or whatever, or is this another character that we've seen that came from the future? I mean, I've been thinking it's Rachel from the start and that it's actually they're going to explain away the whole alternate future, alternate timeline thing because it wouldn't be the first time that they changed the backstory of a character entirely, even though she used to talk about her, you know, her life growing up with the X-Mansion at, like, age 7 or whatever. They could very easily just ignore that, like they ignore half the other X-Men's, you know, timeline and just say that this is Rachel. It would certainly make a lot more sense than Jean.
I'd kind of like for her to be a new character. Why does she have to be somebody old? Why do we have to keep retreading as X-Men?
Because this is Marvel Comics and that's all I know how to do.
No, but it seems to me like they're moving forward. I mean, they've brought Bishop back and Cable back for this, but they're moving forward with something. They actually advanced the plot line of the X-Men. They moved them to a whole new situation. Mm-hmm. You know, that book finally got interesting. And then, you know, it seems like things are actually happening, and there's an ongoing storyline here for the X-Men, which is quite different from, you know, the last couple of years ever since Grant Morrison left, it feels like. So. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it's an actual new character and that we get to actually see the culmination of this line, whether or not, you know, she does bring the end of mutants and whatnot. I'd kind of like to see that happen and then, you know, them decide that, you know, this isn't a person that needs to live because of this.
It would be an interesting place to turn, I'll say that, yeah. But,
yeah.
I mean, especially since, like,
it could be the Hope trilogy. This could be the middle part of the third part where they actually go to the future and figure out what she's done and mm-hmm. and then go back in time and kill her or something.
That'd be interesting, yeah. I mean I would certainly
and
be interested.
Maybe to have Cable kill her and tell Bishop you're right all along.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ouch. Ouch.
My mission is to kill you.
But to me, Cable seems like the kind of guy who would do that if necessary.
But that gets rid of both their timelines then. Doesn't it?
We don't know. I'm still unsure as to why Cable needs to save her. Is for his timeline?
That's what I thought, yeah.
I thought it was because Daddy said so.
Well, I'm pretty sure. Okay, see, that's where things got confusing, because I thought that she turns out to be the savior of his timeline. Like she's known that like, you know, studies, well, not studies, but, like, previous, like, scriptures and stuff like that show her as a hero, and that's why he goes and saves her. Not just.
I'm still lost as to how his timeline is still intact if he's been in the present for so long. You know,
yeah,
fucking around with Deadpool.
And this just in, you know, Bishop's timeline was written off a while ago, also. So this wouldn't be the first time that they've changed any future people's things. You know, I forget when it was, but Bishop's whole timeline got erased.
Yeah, that was I think that was right before Onslaught.
Yeah.
Right around that time, the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm. When he found out who the traitor was.
Yes.
Yeah, when he found out that the traitor was Xavier.
Yeah, exactly. And then Xavier turns an Onslaught. Yeah, exactly. It was the Onslaught Saga. Yeah, mm-hmm. That right there. Right
okay.
there.
Okay. All right.
Right there.
Right there?
Right there.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm just saying I like Brent's idea that this is part of like a three-part, like a trilogy thing, and that this isn't going to be the end of everything. I also am wondering, because, again, I saw on a cover trailer that it looked like Phoenix will be coming back at some point, unless that was yet another one of those covers that has nothing to do with what's actually happening in the book, because they do show Jean rising from the ashes yet again. And they were mentioning, I think in, what was it, X-Men Kingbreaker, that Rachel's connection to the Phoenix Force was severed, and she thinks it's because her mother's back. So maybe Jean isn't Hope, and Jean's going to have to deal with Hope. If Hope does go bad, like Brent wants her to.
Well, to further that along, I don't know if you guys have seen the Marvel previews, but the cover for Uncanny for June has a redhead in control of the Phoenix Force. Whether it's Jean or Madeline Pryor or someone else, I can't really say. Or Hope. We don't know because this list didn't say anything. Yeah. It just said the cover says it all. And it's just sort of like, oh, okay.
I'm glad you mentioned Maddie because I forgot she is back.
Yeah, she's the Black Queen in the current Uncanny storyline.
Yeah, so it would be interesting to see if maybe she gets the Phoenix Force because she's, well, related to Jean in that way as the clone.
So many clones.
Ugh. Scarlet Spider, I still like you. Well, all right. So let's get a rating out of here. Well, actually, before I mention that, Strife. Okay, does he have any reason to still be going after Cable? Because it looked like he was sort of damn peaceful there, sitting there at the bar stool, you know, drinking the really really good scotch and just wasting away his life. I mean, is he better off there, or is he better off where Bishop seems to put him?
He's just looking for trouble.
Yeah, he's got the evil gene in him, so he's got to be a douchebag.
Inherent. You've got to be a douchebag with that smug look he's got. All right, it looks like he could be a commercial for Johnny Walker with that last scene. You know, with the look on his face, with the bottle of scotch, like in the background, holding up the shot glass with the wink and the giant grin on his face. It looks like he should be saying, "My name is Strife, and I drink Johnny Walker."
All right, I have two questions before we rate this and give it a number.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, why does Archangel have four wings? One, and whose city is that? Is that Apocalypse's or is it Strife's, and how do they know?
I thought it was Strife's.
Because Wolverine seems to know what the hell is going on, as does Archangel, looks pretty fucking pissed. Mm-hmm. And I'm only bringing up Apocalypse because they have a profile of him in the back of the book.
Well, in Cable's future, Apocalypse had taken over, and both Archangel and Wolverine have had history with Apocalypse.
So you think it's Apocalypse and not Strife?
But whose future are we in? You know.
Well, I mean, if we're going by what's happened in the past, and you know, maybe they rewrote history again, but if we're going by the past, Apocalypse, both Archangel and Wolverine were horsemen, so. It would make sense that if they recognize it could maybe Strife and Apocalypse have a deal going, maybe they're buddies, maybe, you know, I don't know. Tune in to find out.
Well, and as for the four wings with Archangel, that's an art error. Because if you look at the scene directly before that, he has two.
Well, he does
no,
have
but
that weird
in that two-page
thingy.
Spread, he's got the four wings shit going on, and it's all throughout this book. Keep going back.
Yeah, I think, is it the extendy thingy that he does? Because I know that Archangel, like, he has...
Okay, go
like,
to the middle spread.
Yeah.
Like, where the staples are.
I'm taking a look, yeah.
The left page, he's got regular wings, and then he's got, like, huge, big motherfucking blades. And then even on the first page on the next panel, he's got four different wings coming out of him. How many does he need? You know?
That looks odd, yeah. Cause...
And then you turn the page, and he looks like he's got the Azbat, you know, the late Azbat blades coming out of his back.
Hey, listen. Wings are like pouches. You can never have too many in comics.
And then on the two-page spread, he's got regular wings, and then he's got, like, the old, the way he used to, like, keep them folded and shit.
Yeah, well, that's where I think that's the correct way to really draw it, because he's always sort of had what could be considered four wings, but the other one is just the smaller two is what he uses to fire his missiles, or at least he's always had.
You know, I thought he had just had two wings, and they folded up into the little backpack thing. And when he, at least on the cartoon or whatever, and then his wings actually had the blade feathers. Like here, it's just one huge big blade to rip through people, rather than the actual feathers turning into metal like it was at one time.
Well, you know what we should do? We should look back at the previous issues. You know, maybe at some point we could post on the forums, and maybe other people in the forums can let us know whether or not this is an inconsistency with the way he looked when he first came back as Archangel. Because this happened in the X-Force title when he first got his wings back, his Archangel wings back, and he could switch back and forth like the Incredible Hulk, you know, between good and bad. Whether or not he had four wings when that happened. Because this could just be a new development with the transformation. But I don't remember seeing anything like that.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. It's an inconsistency, but... And they could have made it more clear as to whether or not it was Apocalypse or Strife City. Because I think it's Strife building a city for Apocalypse.
Well, there's no big S and there's no big A on it. So I don't know how we're supposed to know.
So what
if we are in, you know, supposed to know to begin with at all.
So you wanted like a giant Statue of Liberty with an S on it?
I wanted a giant statue of Apocalypse or a giant statue of Strife, you know? Goddamn.
Well, maybe they're not so vain. Maybe.
They're egomaniacs. I thought they would be. I'm sorry.
Okay.
They do think this song is about them.
Yes. This issue was about Strife. And I'm totally sticking by that last panel there. Okay? Someone needs to change the dialogue bubble to something like, "My name is Strife, and I drink Johnny Walker. And it's all going to be good."
Yeah, I'm sending you image links, so please look at them and tell me what you think.
All right.
And I am finding one from X-Force. Okay. This next one I'm sending you right now.
Okay, comparisons. Okay. Yeah, that first one's a little hard to tell. So let me go to the other one.
There's a statue one there that looks funny.
I see four wings on the statue.
Yeah.
I see two smaller ones in the back. And I see two bigger ones on the front.
But you see how he's got like the blade feathers, the lines going down there on the statue?
I thought
that's what he had.
Well, and
it might be a difference between artists.
I think it is, because with the last one, or the second to last one you sent me, it's definitely four. The last one. The last one is definitely four. And that's before he got his wings back. That's obviously his older look when he still had the wings and the blue skin, wearing the angel outfit.
I'm still confused as to how he can go back and forth, because he's all pretty looking in Uncanny X-Men.
It's right rage now. Related. It's like I said, it's just like the Incredible Hulk. When he feels like anguish and torment or whatever, that's when he can turn into Archangel. It's really stupid, and I don't really see why it had to happen. But I guess they really wanted Archangel in X-Force, and that's the way to do it.
I guess so, yeah.
Because
it's kind of hard to kill people with feathers.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you read the issues where he actually becomes Archangel in X-Force.
No, I haven't.
Okay, because when that happens, his wings get torn off, like his actual feathery wings get torn off by Rain, Ron, Wolfsbane. And she's on the...
Oh, yeah, I did read those, yeah.
Okay. Well, when...
Okay. Check out the latest image I sent you.
Okay.
That's an actual page from X-Force from Clayton Crane, and he's got two.
Okay. I call Wayne.
So this is probably pointless in the listeners are like, okay, I can't see the images, Brent. You're lame.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right. Well, the point remains, it's really fucking inconsistent.
Okay.
All right? Yeah. Really, really inconsistent. Brent wins. You get the Emmy. Congratulations.
All right. Raph, what number out of five do you give this issue? Let's move on. Raph. Wake up, Raph.
Is he even still on the call?
All right. So Ian, what do you think?
I think Raph is a douche for not telling us he was going away.
Okay. Well, the issue.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I enjoyed it a lot. I would probably give it about a 4 out of 5. I mean, it got me really interested in what's going to happen next in both X-Force and Cable. I mean, again, I was reading them regularly before. There was, like, a really low point at, like, issue 6 or 7 of X-Force where I was considering dropping it, but then it got better again, and now I'm sticking with it. Because those issues with, like, Ghost Rider and Warpath, I was really enjoying. So now I'm totally going to stick with it until the end, at least until the end of this Messiah War storyline. I'm definitely sticking with Cable because I've enjoyed it all the way. So 4 out of 5. You?
4.5 out of 5.
Damn.
I really like this issue.
Good. I'm happy when you like things, Brent. It makes it easier when you don't like things.
Because you did pick this one.
Yes. Yay! Well, and most importantly, and this is definitely the most important thing, okay?
Okay.
A book with 2 creations by Rob Liefeld did not suck.
Yeah. That's true.
All right, so let's go out there. I know that this might be a different version of X-Force, but X-Force created by Rob Liefeld, Cable created by Rob Liefeld, and Messiah War is awesome. So yes. Here's to you, Marvel, for making characters created by Liefeld not suck.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm still looking at Archangel pictures, and I found an Archangel mini-mate, but it looks like a custom, so I'm not going to say, but that custom's got 4 wings.
All right.
Let's
just go with the fact that you're right, dude, okay?
I want this decided, and then I found another statue. Oh, so, this is another custom. It's not a company one, but he's got 4 wings there. Oh, I don't know. I give up. I guess 4 is the right number. I mean, I found more 4 than 2 on the internet, so damn it.
It's safe to say that, like many other things, such as the length of Wolverine's claws...
Oh, yes, because in the fucking video game that's coming out, they're like 3 feet long.
I know.
I was like, how do those things retract?
Well, dude, even on the Mike Choi cover that I'm looking at right now... The freaking Wolverine claws are bigger here than they are in his own title or in the
They're
book.
They're bigger than his arm. See, that's where I disconnect. I don't think Wolverine's claws should be any longer than from his elbow to his wrist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if they're stored in his hand, then he wouldn't be able to bend his wrist to jack off. Come on, because that's all the action Wolverine gets because Jean's dead, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So... Okay. There goes our explicit tag on Heroes Corner's site, but, you know, right. Our regular listeners don't care.
Okay. Raph.
Yeah.
Okay, good. You're back. Just making sure.
Yes.
Letting us know.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that you were gone because I'm not used to this new setup.
Yeah.
Okay. Rating.
Well, he's usually never here either.
that's very true.
Yeah. Rating, X-Force Messiah War.
Out of 5.
Out of 5, I will give it a 3.5. It's a very good opening from what little I remember. I am looking forward to the rest of the series, though. I will be reading it, definitely. It just slipped my mind that this was the biggest X event since Messiah Complex. So, yeah. But I am looking forward to it, and it's going to be awesome.
And
I just have a feeling.
And like I said while you were gone, it's amazing that it's an X-Force and a Cable, both creations by Rob Liefeld, and it doesn't suck.
Right? Seriously? And not so many pouches.
And I do believe I saw feet.
Yes, real feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know
that's
what?
Just like
there's
nuts.
I just realized there's a theme to this episode, and it's armor and blades.
Yes,
because Darkhawk is armored and has the blade wings. Oh. We just spent 15 minutes talking about Archangel, blade wings, Azrael holding the sword, armor, and caped. The fucking guy's got blades.
You know, let's just go out and say it. This is our 90s episode.
We should have done a Blade comic, you know? Or reviewed the Blade movie.
I'll be right back. I'm going to get some swords and put them on my arms right now. Give me one sec.
All you need to do is read Captain Britain and MI-13. He's in it right now, Blade.
Yeah, and I'm going to put some pouches on.
Yeah, we read that and did not like
it. Yeah, you sure? You sure?
Yeah.
He no Reiki, wrong time.
I swear that book off, sorry.
All right. Well, before we do the next review, folks, I'm going to go get some soda so I don't fall asleep. Because I think that might actually be the case. That's getting me off my game. I'm not jazzed enough. I'm not like soda'd up enough. I haven't drank any caffeine all day. All right, let's move it on. So, it's the comic book that Raph Suhu has been waiting his entire life for.
Dark Cock.
Well, most of my life, not my entire life.
Dark Vagina, number 1. So, War of Kings, Dark Hawk number one, written by C.B. Sobolski, with Mr. Tolobow back on art.
Hey, look at that.
Hey,
yeah.
Consistency.
Huzzah!
Let me say, enjoy the art a great deal.
Yeah. He's becoming one of my new favorites.
Well, he reminds me a little bit of a certain man who did Civil War.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I can see that.
That may be the coloring.
Possible, yes.
Because he's always had, even on that Avengers Initiative issue we reviewed a while back, he had pretty good colors that looked similar to what was Civil War. And even the What If Civil War he did,
mm-hmm.
same colorist, I think.
Yeah.
Or style.
Well, the colorist here is J. David Ramos with Rain Burrito doing parts of it as well. And two inkers on this one, Harvey Tolobow, which of course is him, and Joe Pimentel. I believe I probably butchered both names, but you know what? Screw it. It's their fault for having crazy names. So, the issue. Let's start it off with the one per... Oh, great. Wow. Hey, Raph, I could hear your computer starting in the background.
Why, yes, and now it'll go back offline because that's what it does because my stupid internet fucking sucks. Fuck ass.
Well,
fuck
dude,
shit.
Dude, you have to close the restaurant down where you're going to be on Skype.
That's true. Oh, wait, hold on. I got to take this order. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, quick. Okay. Okay, anyway.
All right, fine. So, well, you know what? Yeah, why not? Let's start it off with the guy who has been in love with this character 3/4 of his life. What'd you think of it, Ref?
All right, well, let's start off with my big, epic feeling of Darkhawk. Anyway, no, I've been a big Darkhawk fan since I was, like, 7, only because at that young age, when you see a cool-looking guy in armor that shoots laser blasts and has claws and everything, what can you say but holy shit, that is awesome. And it's, you know, obviously since then I realized he's a very mediocre character created by Tom DeFalco. there you go, Amazing Spider-Cast.
Yeah.
He's not as great as I, you know, he looks like. He's always been a character that they never really utilized well. Last time I saw him used good was in Runaways when he single-handedly took down Ultron.
Yeah.
With this series, I thought it was great. It's sort of, if you haven't read the last thing he was in, which is The Loners, which is also written by Sobolski, you may be a little lost. You may not understand what the Excelsior Club is or who the other guys are that he's seeing. But it's still really good. I thought, you know, they're establishing Chris Powell as, a young adult. He's a little bit older. You know, he's not a teen anymore. And he's sort of dealing with the realities of being Darkhawk. For some reason, Darkhawk makes him really angry and aggressive. But he also gets to be one of the most kick-ass B-level superheroes ever. I mean, seriously, that armor is so hot.
Yeah.
Can you say Darkhawk 3 times fast?
Darkhawk 3 times fast. Darkhawk.
Wow, he did it without saying Darkhawk.
Darkhawk.
Yeah, but see, if you just ask him to, he'll say it, so.
Of course, yeah. Well, okay, what's interesting about this, I was not expecting the Excelsior Club to show up. Because in, you know, the last time we saw Darkhawk, he was in Nova. And in that, you know, he had his job set up with the same place that, you know, he currently is. Same organization. And, recently showed up in Nova as well, the same organization, because that's where Nova is right now. Project Pegasus, thank you. And Project Pegasus, you know, that's a nice steady job for him. So I wasn't really expecting him to wind up back at Excelsior, especially with the problems with his frickin', you know, powers going nutso cuckoo again, which I'm not really that familiar with, other than when they went a little bit out of control in, was it Loners where it actually went out of control, or was it Runaways? I forget.
It was Loners.
It was in Loners. Okay, all right. So, I mean, it looked like everything was back to normal, and he seemed perfectly fine in Nova. Now we're back to this. What I want to ask you, Raph, is it a little bit disjointed with the way that he was characterized in Nova and the way he was characterized here? Because Sobolski seems to have a very a very distinct take on Darkhawk, which drew me for a loop, because I was expecting a space tale, and most of this is very grounded. And not really that War of Kings-ish with the War of Kings thing on the cover.
Well, yeah, actually, well, I mean, issue 2 has since come out, and it makes a lot more sense. But, you know, we're not getting to that. Just to talk about issue 1, I mean, it's Nova back in the beginning was also, like, back in the 70s, was also about more earthy than it was spacey. So, I mean, it makes sense. Also, Chris Powell never really went to space that much. He always stayed pretty grounded in New York,
right?
You know, with all this other 6,000 superheroes that live here. So it was always sort of, it didn't make more sense to have him here. The one thing that connects the Abnett and Lanning and Sebulski stuff is the anger issues he has. Darkhawk, basically they changed a lot actually because. That's spoiling issue two. We're not going into it. But anyway, the whole point is the powers have changed a little bit, and the character has changed a little bit since the original. With the big cliffhanger ending, it makes a lot more sense. It's going to get a lot more spacey after that.
Okay. All right. So, is this sort of the change between Blue Beetle back when we thought that it was a Earth grounded thing, and then finding out that the Scarab is from space, and then we have the major change with Jaime and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. I mean, the origin of Darkhawk was that this criminal wanted to create this big piece of, like, this ultimate armor for himself.
Hobgoblin.
Hobgoblin comes into play later. He's not exactly the same. It's not the same guy, I don't think. Because it's weird, because he gets these scientists to go into this extra-dimensional spaceship, and they create the armor, and then they blow up the ship, or they try to destroy it, and then the armor appears somewhere else, appears on Earth, and the Hobgoblin wants it. It's really convoluted. But they're changing the origin, and if you've read issue two, you'll know that they've completely wiped out the origin and retconned it, like, to make it so much more awesome.
Okay.
So now there's, like, anyway. A cock core.
What? Yeah, there's actually a lot of darkly pigmented penis in issue two.
So, all right. So what you're saying is they yet again have created another Green Lantern Corps rip in Marvel.
Except it's so much more awesome because there's only two of them.
So he's Kyle.
Yes, and if you know anything about me, I love Kyle because
as do I.
He's so awesome.
All right. So let me mention my take on this. Okay, I read The Loners. I read Runaways also. So I know how he's been portrayed the past couple of times. I also read Nova. So, you know, there you go. I understand that Sebulski wanted to bring the Loners into this, you know, the Excelsior Club. I'm not quite sure if it was the right thing to do when you only have two issues in a miniseries to spend nearly as much time as he did on the ancillary characters. This felt almost like a you know what? Yeah, it would have been better to actually call this a Loner's issue than to call it a Darkhawk issue.
Because there's only like six pages, though. Come on.
I think they spent a little bit too much
time. And they
time.
Were drawn by a different artist, not Harvey Tolabow.
I know that, but I'm just saying. What I'm saying though is that when you only have two issues to work with for a character, focus on the character. Don't spend so much time on the backstory. All right.
Okay. I thought it was focused on the character. I really liked the way that he did it because I've never read Darkhawk, and I liked the character in this issue.
Okay.
I liked how it was like, you know, bang, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, right up front. You know, he's running out of the house, and he's like, oh, shit's happening. I got to go to work. And he's like, bam. And then he gets to work, and then it's like, bam, there's a golden guy fighting him. And then
I love the way you describe things, Brent.
Yeah, it's like, Aaron, bam.
It was all like, whoosh, and then pow. And I was like, bam.
And that's done with quickly. And then he's like, you know, you can't touch me. And he got his hammer. And then he just meets up with his buddies. I mean, that's who it is. Those are his buddies.
All right.
And it's just like, it seems to me like he's had trouble with being Darkhawk before, like, stuff goes wrong for him. So that's what this got across to me.
Well, and that's why the Excelsior Club was angry at him, because he decided to turn his back on them and actually go back to being Darkhawk, when the whole point of the Excelsior Club was people who used to be superheroes basically getting together and trying to talk about, you know, not being superheroes anymore.
I'm sorry. If I've got cool wings, I'm going to use them.
Yeah, seriously. Well, actually, you know what?
Yeah.
Are you ever going to talk about issue two on the show again?
No. Probably not.
And I haven't read it, so go ahead.
I have yet to read it. Don't be too spoilery, please, because I actually do plan on reading it. But
Basically, the brief synopsis, not too spoily summary of issue two is it is all about the legacy of what Darkhawk is a part of.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else except for like the last five pages where he says goodbye to what's her face from the Excelsior Club and to his family to go out into space and to train and to go to Shi'ar space and deal with the problem.
Yeah.
It really, the second issue is all about like War of Kings. And then after that, there's going to be a mini series, I think, which starts next week or, you know, this week, depending on when this comes out. The War of Kings Ascension. That's all about Darkhawk, and I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm picking that one as well. Actually, I'm picking up basically everything War of Kings because I've been loving the entire space stuff. Brent, did you continue on Nova and all that after we picked it up for the show, or did you?
No, I did exactly as I said, and I got up to issue 3, and that was kind of the end of that storyline. So I was like, okay, well, you know, thank you very much. I'm done. I will put it down and come back to it later if it ever comes back to Earth.
All right.
But I mean, and Sean Chan left, and I don't know. So I'm not following the space stuff. If that's what you're getting at.
All right. Well, speaking of Sean Chen, by the way, if you haven't picked up a Dark Reign Fantastic Four, do yourself a favor. Really, really good stuff.
Okay, I haven't picked that up.
All right, but going back, I mean, I've been a huge fan of the space stuff out of Marvel ever since Abnett and Lanning took it over. I mean, as you know from our reviews of Nova and from Annihilation Conquest and all that, Guardians of the Galaxy is one of the most fun books out of Marvel. You know, day in and day out. I just read the last 3 issues in one sitting, and it's fun to see what's been happening with Quasar and Moonstone and everything, and the deal that's going on there. But I guess I'm just happy to see that Marvel has itself a nice wide range of characters again. You know, it's not just Earth. There's so many other characters in the DC universe that are finally getting their chance to shine, thanks to Abnett and Lanning. And amazingly enough, I think Darkhawk's one of them. I can't believe I'm saying that in a sentence, but it looks like Darkhawk's going to have his time in the sun. Yet again, I can't believe I just said that in a sentence.
Darkhawk!
Well, and Raph, one thing that made me like this issue better was reading the issue they had in the back.
I was just going to say, because I've actually read that. And I was pretty good, but I will point this out. I think it's kind of funny that Mike Manley is the artist on this one, and he's had the long. He actually did the first issue of the Armored Asbats.
Ooh!
And he had a long run on Batman during that. So Mike Manley, History of Armored Heroes.
You know why? Because armor is manly.
He's my favorite artist of all time now.
Well, just 'cause I said that.
Top 5 heroes, come on.
Well, what's funny though is the reason I was saying that I liked it so much better because of the issue in the back is I read the issue in the back and I'm thinking to myself, my God, this is the worst 90s cheese I've ever read in my life. Okay,
was it 90s or 80s?
Oh, it might have been late 80s, but it was close enough to the 90s where this was like how every single character in Marvel was being written at the time during DeFalco's run. You know, where like sort of Spider-Man-esque with Spider-Man characters, but you know, then finding their like magical power source and then being transformed into a guy with armor. You know? That's the way it rolled. I mean, come on. All you gotta do is mention when War Machine had the alien armor, which was near the end of DeFalco's run, to remember how crazy shit was back then. But let me just roll back and say, with the way Cebulski's been writing Darkhawk, and with the way that Abnett and Lanning have been writing him, Darkhawk is officially a character and not just a 90s creation.
Raph, get a paper towel, please.
Please, please, come on, man.
Think of our young listeners.
So, I mean, Brent, do you see yourself picking up number 2?
Yeah, you know, if I see it on the rack or go hunting for it, I may get it because I'm curious about this second guy.
Okay,
but
his name is Ensaban Nor, just so you know.
Yeah, Apocalypse. Yeah, nice. Thanks. I'm not that dumb.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was trying to combine like Abin Sur in my head with Ensaban Nur, and I managed to just say Ensaban Nur, even though it just sounds like a Green Lantern anyway.
Speaking of Green Lantern references, yeah, some guy comes crashing down after you get your special powers.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not
right?
The only one. Oh my God.
All he needs is some dog-like guy to say Yapoozer, and then that's the end of that. Ugh. All right, so Raph, was this the best comic book you ever read? Give it a rating.
I think that War of Kings, Darkhawk #1, it far surpasses Watchmen as the greatest comic book of all time.
And that's why you're going to be leaving for the rest of the show right now.
Well, seriously, I think this is some of the... It was the best reinvention of a character that most people don't care about. Because let's be honest, I know I'm probably one of maybe 15 Darkhawk fans in the entire world. Mm-hmm. So it was great to see a character like Darkhawk get just the recognition he deserves and gets a real storyline that's not written by DeFalco and just real respect and given a real power level. I mean, because he blasted friggin' Ultron and then he goes and up. Come on, this is Darkhawk.
Yeah, I don't know if you noticed, Raph, but his power level is over 9,000.
Over 9,000?
9,000?
Well, the Scouters can't go that high.
That movie. I can't wait to see the new movie. It's going to be so awesome.
Oh, it's going to be so terrible.
Pass.
Oh,
thank
God.
You. Just like the Street Fighter movie, pass.
DVD or nothing. I'm not seeing that in theaters. No way.
No, we're watching that. We're going to watch it. You're playing drunk off our asses.
All right. Dude, I'm up for that. I'm totally up for that. Yeah, as long as I'm Netflixing it or you buy it, because I ain't buying that shit.
I'm not buying that. I'm going to, like, BitTorrent the DVD release when it comes out, like, 2 weeks from now, because that's how long it's going to last.
All right. Well, and let me give my rating on it here. After reading Darkhawk number one, I had a greater appreciation for his family. So, you know, it is cool to see that Cebulski brought him back to his past. I'm still thinking that there should have been a little bit less focus on the back family and all that, since you only had two issues. But since Raph is telling me that issue two is going to be in space and everything, I feel a little better. I hope the family survives that giant blast that just happened, because it would kind of suck to introduce them and then have them get killed off at the
end. No, that was the house next door.
Oh, okay. Damn it, Flanders is dead. I'm also nice to see some good art on here, and Sapolsky's usually good. So I'm going to give it about 3.6. It's not quite a 4, a little better than a 3.5. I'm certainly picking up 2. I'm enjoying War of Kings a hell of a lot. So bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
Yeah, I'm going to say a 3.5 for me. Pretty good. Better than I expected, at least. There you go.
So does this mean that Brent is going to start liking cosmic characters?
Not necessarily, no.
Damn it!
I'm going to go with an 8.6 trillion out of 5.
Is that humanly possible?
I think so.
All right, great. And thanks for joining us, Raph. We'll see you next time.
All right, give us a real rating, dude. Come on.
Oh, no. Honestly, considering all what happens in it, I'm going to give it a 4.5. Obviously, it's my like of the character that probably gives it that extra point. I mean, like, this is the equivalent of a Superman book for me that's good. You know, this is it. I mean, Darkhawk is arguably my number two or my number three Marvel character of all time. I mean, that's how long my loyalty with Darkhawk goes.
I'm glad the story was not number two, though.
No, it wasn't.
Good.
Who does number two work for?
All right.
No, I really enjoyed it. It was great to see Chris Powell get a real characterization. And just the fact that they were willing to put Darkhawk into a major event and really show him off and sort of, after this book, you can sort of go, hey, you know, Darkhawk is a serious player. And it's like, yes, finally. So, yeah, I'm going to, honestly, the 4.5, I can't think of any, there's not much they could have done to make it too much better.
More cowbell.
So, really, a 5 is really hard to get. You know, it's supposed to be. So, right. Yeah, I'm going to go 4.5.
All right. Well, let's go from Raph's wet dream to Brent's. How about that?
All right.
It's not my wet dream.
I can guarantee you mine has more girls in it.
Oh, all right.
Well, there we have it.
Azrael, Death's Dark Knight, numero uno, a battle for the cowl. So we got the team of Fabian Nicieza and Fraser Irving on this one, with Sal Cipriano on letters, meaning that Fraser Irving does everything. And the cover is by Gillum March. Special thanks to Grant Morrison. And Azrael, created by Denny O'Neill and Joe Quesadilla. So
that never gets old.
So here we are. It's an Azrael book. I'm going to have to ask Brent first, what'd you think?
a slow start. A slow start.
Aww.
Yeah, come on.
Well, okay, here's my problem, and I like Fraser Irving usually.
No, see, I'm going to counter you right there and say I read those Robin issues that he did. I didn't read Seven Soldiers and stuff, but the last thing I read that he did were like the two fill-in issues of Robin with the blue elf dude, the little kid with the cat, Clarion the Witch Boy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I read those issues of Robin, didn't really love his stuff there, but I found his art in here really, really strong.
Okay.
I thought it was fucking great.
Yeah, see, to me it sort of looked like Daniel Acuna light.
No. See, I think Daniel Acuna sucks, and Daniel Acuna is, like, aping this guy.
Really?
Yes, because Daniel Acuna, to me, is just like watercolors. Like, some outlines and throw a little bit of color, and I'm done. I'm not going to put any detail in it. I'm not going to, you know, because here you've got the glow effects on the faces, and you have the faces, and you can see a real expression, and the metal, and like, you know, the second page spread where you can see the actual armor. I'm sure Daniel Acuna wouldn't have done the armor on there. I just thought it was really strong in all places. And even the close-up of the hand, you know, if this was a Daniel Acuna book, you wouldn't have the liver spots or the wrinkles or anything like that. It'd just be one color.
All right, I'll give you
that. And you wouldn't have any detail at all.
I just think that the art comes off as a little flat. That was my problem.
All right, I'll give it that. But I think it kind of matches the cover. Okay. It's in a similar style of the cover. And Guillaume March does some great covers, but his thing with Denny O'Neill on Detective Comics and Batman, that two-parter, wasn't really that strong. But I love his cover, so I'll give it to him there. But I think this is some of the stronger Fraser Irving stuff that I've seen in a while.
Okay. Well, and the character, it's nice that they were able to bring it, the new Azrael, from the pages of Batman RIP and have it be a character that really I don't think any of us really ever expected to see again, since they were all sort of throwaways in that. And Nicieza was able to basically draw from that rich history that happened in RIP and actually get a character that wasn't killed in it and actually bring him in here. But let me ask Raph first before we actually go into the story itself. What'd you think of the issue?
I thought it was solid, a bit slow, and there are still a lot of questions I have after issue one. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get too much into it just yet, but what happened to the first dude in the armor?
Well, we don't know. You know? Like, we don't know yet. I mean, he's still running around in it. Or at least he should have been. Yeah, that was weird because they seemed to be looking for him, and then all of a sudden Lane has the armor.
Yeah, that either there's two suits of armor, or they just, like, magically got the armor away from the guy. Either they killed him or he gave it back, which doesn't seem likely.
Yeah. And this was, you know what, I listened to Nicieza's interview with Raging Bullets a couple of days ago, and he was talking about how, because this is a three-issue miniseries, and usually you have more than that to work with, you had to definitely put a lot of story into these three issues to make it work, and basically have the beginning, the middle, and the end, and that's it. This is definitely the beginning to the story. It's just that there were some things that were not told in this that I definitely wanted told, like how the hell did they get the armor back? I mean, Brent, was that a little awkward to you?
Not really. To be quite honest, I didn't even remember that till you guys brought it up. To me, it was like, okay, here's some dude. He's obviously nuts. Cuts off some guy's head. We go from there. There's an investigation, so that's why these guys are concerned. And they're just like, okay, this guy doesn't work, so we're going to get a new guy. And they go into him. And honestly, this is the most information we've had about this character, this third Batman, Michael Washington Lane, than we got in Batman.
Yes.
Like, I actually understand this guy now, that Fabian Nicieza fleshed this stuff out, because – and even the program that they were going on in that arc in Batman was not that clearly laid out, at least in monthly issues. I haven't gone back and read it yet, but I liked how we got, like, a quickie overview of this guy.
Well, that's one of the things that makes Nicieza so strong, is that he is able to craft characters that work. You know, and I'm sure that maybe, I mean, who knows if he was the one who even chose this character, because, you know, a lot of the times when they're doing something like this, it's a group decision and they just roll with it and then Nicias has given it to him. But even when that sort of thing happens, Fabian Nicias is able to craft a story.
Well, he took Robin, the wreckage of Robin after Chuck Dixon, and ran with it.
Yes. Yeah.
And it turned out to be a great, great story.
Definitely. No, I agree with that totally. I mean, he took the reins on that perfectly, just like he did here. I haven't read his other Battle for the Cal stuff yet, the Gotham Gazette or the Commissioner Gordon one. I've heard good things about Gordon, not so much about Gotham Gazette, but I'll definitely have to check those out at one point. But I will say it's good to have Nicieza involved with Battle for the Cal, and I certainly hope he gets a book once we're all said and done with this here. Now, do we need... And obviously, I think I know Brent's answer to this already, but do we need an Azrael in Gotham City with Battle for the Cal?
Sure. I think it's going to be the thing that keeps the new Batman in check. You know what I mean? It's like we already know that or everybody can pretty much figure out that the gun-toting Batman in Battle for the Cal is probably Jason Todd.
Probably.
Right? And even there's been like a preview of issue number 2, and it comes out and says that it's Jason Todd. So, you know, whatever. So, but whoever this new Batman is, I think this is the character that's going to keep him in check. You know, the killing is obviously not the way to go. Mm-hmm. And, this is going to be a source of conflict for that. And that's kind of like what Azrael did for Batman at the beginning.
True.
You know, just kind of was an example of him, how he cannot go wrong. Because you took this guy who was conditioned and was a killer and put him in the bat suit, which led to me actually, you know, reading comics and stuff. So good for that.
Yeah,
there.
Big mistake, DC.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Well, you'd be on like your 53rd co-host by now if not for that.
Oh, fuck off, man.
Yeah, it's funny because it's partially true.
Yeah, it's partially true. All right.
Okay. So and then he went nuts in the bat suit because he was at war with himself, you know, because he was not trained. He was trained to kill, and then Batman's like, "No, you can't kill." So,
and he was like, "Yes, sir. Wait, I like killing.
Kill." Yeah. Exactly.
Well, and there's definitely an opportunity here to yet again go crazy in the, you know, theoretical bat suit, because this was the bat suit for a little while.
And I think this is it might be a little, you know, a switch of that. Whereas before, this guy's been conditioned to be Batman, to be a Batman replacement. And now here he is filling in for a different suit. So I kind of like how it's a mirror image of the old Azrael condition, you know?
Yeah.
Here we have a Azrael, and then he was trying to be Batman. And here we have a wannabe Batman, and now he's trying to be Azrael.
it's a little weird how that happens, you know?
Yeah.
Although it does make perfect sense.
But I'm really digging it. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm really digging it.
Yeah. Well, Raph, two questions for you. One, since we already touched on it, the art. Give us your opinion on that. And the Suit of Sorrows, crazy suit or craziest suit?
Well, let's start with the art. Fraser Irving, I do like him more than Daniel Acuna. He has a little more depth to his style, whereas Acuna is sometimes he's good, sometimes he's Photoshop and then watercolor. I didn't mind the art at all. It wasn't amazing, but it was solid. It told the story. I did what it needed to do. As for the Suit of Sorrows, craziest suit or craziest suit ever. I think that if you just put more pouches and armor on it and made it shoot laser blasts, I think it'd be way cooler. But it's still like pretty nutty.
Well, are you okay with seeing it again in the comics? Because, I mean, I guess the story was never completed with the Suit of Sorrows. Batman just sort of had it, and then I know that in the Dini run, he got rid of it, and then it was just sort of hanging and dangling there. So I guess this is the resolution for the Suit of Sorrows and where it winds up.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure where I read it. I think it was stolen when the Batcave got destroyed by the Black Glove.
It mentioned here, yeah, because that's why Talia's looking for it. It got stolen from the Batcave.
Okay, there you go.
Well, yeah, because Talia had given it to him to fight Ra's al Ghul when he got resurrected back in the resurrection of Ra's al Ghul.
Ra's al Ghul.
Whatever. Well, however you want to say it. Apparently, it's a suit that like sort of empowers the user, but also there's a terrible price to it, and now they finally explain where it comes from. The Order of Saint Dumas, a different sect of it, which is sort of interesting, because now I wonder, you know, where's my Gene Paul at? Where's he going to come back? And
he's
and
still dead.
Yeah, he's one. Of, he's
Gene
one
Paul
of,
isn't dead.
No.
He died in issue 100. It's been said long before.
Dan, the chalkboard in Booster Gold. Don't you guys remember that? Gene Paul is alive?
No, I don't.
You really don't remember? That was in issue, one of John's last issues of Booster Gold.
Are you sure that it said Jean Paul and not Azrael?
It said Gene Paul.
It does.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure. Anyway, but regardless of that, I think I want to see what – I think in issue 2 we need to see – what the true repercussions of wearing a pseudo style is, because we've only heard of it. We've only heard, like, it's really crazy to wear. We did see that one guy who, again, we never see again, cut that guy's head off, but, like, how did he get to that point? Like, we need to see that. I want to see that, especially since this Asriel got stabbed by Talia at the end. Cliffhanger!
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting way to go about it. Also, do you guys recognize any of these villains other than Merlin?
Is that Merlin?
I see a bow and pointy hair, so immediately I think Merlin.
It's the League of Assassins, which Merlin's a part of. So
oh, yeah, it is. I will say, yeah, it is Merlin. You're right.
See, and that's what...
But they never point out and say it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So you don't recognize anybody else?
No. All right. Especially the mask guy, I have no clue.
Just curious, because really... I know it doesn't make that much of a difference, but... You know, when they show people, when they show villains, it sort of be nice for me to know who they are.
So you want, like, the little caption boxes that lays out who everybody is?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You know what else I like, though? I liked how, like, this guy has lost everything. Mm-hmm. His, you know, his dad is gone. His wife and his kid are gone. And, you know, they don't lay it out clearly, but they talk about his wife and his kid in the, you know, 2 pages before you see the graves. And clearly, those guys are dead. If you go back and look at him, so he's pretty much lost everybody, and he's lost everything.
Is this his sister-in-law? That's there by the grave. That was a little hard for me to track.
Yeah,
okay.
I guess.
All right, because he talks about
nieces and nephews. Yeah,
nieces and nephews. So I guess that must be sister-in-law, or because I doubt it's actual sister.
No. Nah.
All right. Okay.
Because he obviously doesn't feel that close to her.
Yeah. Or maybe she feels close to him in a way that she never actually admitted.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just interesting. One more thing about the art. If you take DC's digital artist guys, okay, and just the guys that have been doing this. So you got this guy, Frazier Irving. You have Giuseppe – is it Camicoli? Maybe I'm wrong. The guy that was on Trials of Shazam. Doing the new JLA series.
I think. Wait, say again, Ref?
Yeah, Mauro Cassioli. Okay. He's a digital painter. And then you had Howard Porter, who was doing it for a little while. Okay? And then go look at Daniel Cunha's stuff.
All right.
Tell me who is the better artist. Oh. Taking those three guys and then putting Daniel Cunha's stuff, whether it be from Flash or Eternals or whatever, just putting at it next to it. And tell me that which is better comic book art and which is better pop art. To me, Acuna is better for like pop art and covers, but not so much storytelling.
All right. You win the war. You win the battle. I give it to you, sir.
You know, because I remember once upon a time when we saw that first issue of Flash or whatever, the first Flash image with Acuna, and I don't, it's probably on the show too, but I remember we were looking at it a lot like, I don't know, back when Mark Waid was first announced. You remember that conversation?
Yeah, well, he was good on Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters. I like his stuff on Eternals. He wasn't right for Flash.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'll certainly say that. But, all right. Frazier Irving, again, nothing against the dude. I just like art that's a little more three-dimensional. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah. All right? So, but it does sort of work for the story itself, I'll say that. Plus, it's funny to me how, you know, usually... And again, this is sort of a comic book style I'm talking about here, but you don't get nearly as much of that comic book style with Frazier Irving. So Azrael actually sort of looks like just a dude in armor, in like light armor, you know?
Yeah.
Like
I like that about it.
Oh, yeah. No,
I wish the hood was a little bigger, not so tight on his head.
Yeah.
That we got the classic look like we got on the cover.
Because he sort of looks a little bit like, damn it, what the hell, Taskmaster. In fact, he looks a lot like Taskmaster. You know, from the Initiative. And
well,
the
hood is like loose on Taskmaster too, but I'm saying like it looks like it's really, really tight, like it's a extra stocking or whatever almost on his head now. But I want like the loose look, like what's on the cover of Capes number one and what's on this cover.
Are you closer to the
older Azrael. I'll put it that way.
Are you happy to see the flame sword though?
Yeah, I'm digging it.
I believe that
a lot more than I'll believe the flame blades, so you know.
Yeah.
I love the flame blades.
Ooh.
Oh, I do too, but I'm digging it.
But and what of the sword of salvation?
I don't know. Is he going to be dual wielding? That'd be kind of cool.
I think it probably going to wind up that way. You'll have one like blue flame and one yellow flame man throwing it around.
He could join them together at the hilt and then be like Darth Maul and twirl them around and shit.
Wasn't that sort of a rule?
Or like Robot Chicken. when Boba Fett has two of them and he dual wields it and it turns purple.
Well, isn't it sort of a rule though that you know when a sword goes through you, it's officially yours.
or you die. I mean, that's something I've heard happens when you get a sword run through you.
Nah, I would say that that's a definite cliffhanger for the first issue. You know, here we have our new Azrael, and then at the first issue, it's like, whoa.
Well, no. See, this is exactly how the next issue is going to start out. Okay, it's going to be like a boardroom setting almost with the Order of Dumas. Sitting there, like
purity.
So,
yeah, about that.
Anybody else?
Jason Todd.
No, like, all right,
done the battle for the Cal yet?
The situation. We lost both swords. We lost the suit, and the guy's dead.
Well, this makes me wonder too. How many other sects of the order are out there? You know, how many Saint Dumas's sects? Just two? You sure?
God created two, and then I don't know what these, you know, there might be like a trans sect out there, you know, you never know.
You know what would be great? If there was so many sects that I got watered down to the Order of St. Dumbass.
That'd be like the mini Marvels version if DC ever did that.
No, this is great. No, the Order of St. Dumbass. We need to create an Asriel.
Dude,
it's great. Oh, Asriel can team up with Darkhawk.
Yeah, I'm totally gonna write the comic.
For anybody wondering if we were a juvenile, you just got your answer.
The answer is a resounding no. This show is very serious.
All right, let's finish it out with
a rating.
Well, no, not with the rating. I was going to ask a couple more questions.
Jumping the gun
here. Jesus Christ, man. Come on.
I'm sorry.
You got to take your time, man. You got to relax.
I'm sorry.
Well, first off, how is Commissioner Gordon, and for that matter, how is Nightwing going to react to there being yet another man who is, like, quote-unquote, above the law and does whatever the hell he feels like Azrael running around Gotham City?
Hey, it's same old song and dance in Gotham City. You know? It's happened before. It'll happen again.
It'll happen again, man. So this is just history repeating itself?
Yeah, I guess so. Right. I kind of like how this is kind of like on the side of Battle for the Cowl, because I feel like it's not going to – you know, Nightwing will show up, but it'll show up as Nightwing and not as the new Batman.
Yeah, well, this is definitely – in fact, this is something that Nacy has yet again brought up in the Raging Bullets interview, that this is happening. And like when you see that Batman RIP symbol in the sky – you know exactly when this is taking place in Battle for the Cowl.
Yeah.
Because this is that's like what, like maybe only like 8 pages into Battle for the first issue of Battle for the Cowl?
Yeah.
So there you go. This is like day 1. And I think Battle for the Cowl is supposed to take place over like a week. So this is exactly when it's taking place. All right, rating.
And he did say that the other issues might not be on time.
Yes.
In that Raging Bullets interview, so.
Yes.
And I got a warning ahead of time, so I'm cool with the others.
Well, issue 2, that's still not out, right?
No, it's not.
Just making sure.
This just came out.
This just came out? Okay, all right.
2 weeks ago or something.
I have so many comic books, like, backlogged, I have no idea when anything comes out anymore. So,
I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay, Brent. It's okay.
I'm not trying to, you know, I'm just saying.
I know. It's okay, Brent. It's okay.
At least you know where your priorities are because you read all these in 2 hours before the show.
Yes. I'm sitting there watching like the wrap up of like, you know, 800 seasons of ER. And I'm just like, okay, yeah, I'll put that on the background so I don't have to pay attention to it. And I'm going to read Azbats.
I texted you at like 6 o'clock. I gave you plenty of time.
Yes, I know. And I was eating dinner.
All right.
All right. Rating.
4. I liked it. Interested in the next issue, not just because it's Asriel, but because it was a well-written story. Thank you, Fabian.
You're welcome. I'm going to give it a 3. I liked it. I just didn't like the art nearly as much as you guys did. So I'm gonna continue to pick it up. I just am not 100% thrilled with it. Raph? Okay.
I'm going to give it a 4 also. I'm giving it lower than Darkhawk only just because I think Darkhawk deserved a story like that. It was a long time coming. With Asriel, I mean, he's had his ups and downs. I mean, at first he was all a typical 90s character, but he did develop eventually, and I'm really interested. I am really interested in seeing what this new Asriel is going to be like and, you know, where it takes him. So it was a really good story. Maybe the art was a little dark at times, but, you know, I'm okay with it. I got the basic idea, and I'm, you know, again, I'm looking really forward to issue 2.
Yeah, this Asriel did die, and he's going to be replaced with a tap dancer.
That'd be great.
I think it's just interesting that it's actually a different writer writing Asriel, because it was Denny O'Neil for 100 issues the whole run.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So this is actually the first time anybody else has really taken a look at the character.
At least it's not Quesadilla. Hey! Hey!
Oh, no. Oh, this is an idea. Oh, let's terminate Asriel's parents.
Thank you. Even better. Asriel makes a deal with the devil.
Yeah, that's right.
It's great. It's great. Your angel is going to make a deal with the devil. All right. Enough Quesadilla. Let's roll over to the one.
I'm
pick,
hungry.
Please. One independent pick, and that is Boom Studios Caped number 1. And I guess Brent has to dislike something, right?
Oh my God, do I?
All right. I'm going to start off this one because I haven't started off one yet.
All right, go.
damn it. What the hell? Achim. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to get something to drink first.
L'chaim.
Shalom. Talk amongst yourselves.
I could totally start now and you couldn't say shit. Pop.
Talk about how awesome MegaCon was and make Raph feel bad.
What a cockwit that Ian Levenstein is. Oh, man. Wow. Oh.
It was so awesome, I had to leave early on Sunday. I was sick. I was sick, and I had a test.
Yeah. Oh, but
they actually found out that there's a shuttle from that Hawthorne thing to the airport.
Oh, yeah?
So they could have saved you money last year, and they took that to the airport rather than call a cab. So it was free. So there you go. Should have looked into that last year.
We were just at the thing going, okay, we need to get back. We need to get into Orlando and cabs. They didn't really advertise that. Or maybe Ian just didn't look into it well enough. So I blame Ian for wasting our money last year.
I don't know. It was raining, and I had to leave and get back to Gainesville to study for a test that I didn't exactly do the best on. But it worked out for them, so I'm glad. I think Brandon had to lay over, though, or stay in Orlando an extra night because of some snow, whatever that is. But, it was good. It was fun.
Yeah, snow. I don't think you guys ever get that.
Nope, not really. Although it is getting pretty damn windy in Gainesville the past couple days. They're having to do weather cut-ins, so I keep getting text messages from Mandy saying I'm have to be at work till 5 a.m. because they're doing weather cut-ins all night long, apparently.
Holy crap.
So that sucks.
Wait, that does. Why? Is the weather bad?
Yeah, it's really windy, and it's like there were tornadoes on Tuesday north of here in Gainesville and like a different county, not in Gainesville, and apparently it's going to hail. So it's really bad weather. So they've been doing like weather cut-ins on the TV station. They did them on Tuesday because they interrupted Reaper, and apparently they're doing them tonight. They didn't interrupt Smallville, though. Because,
you know, I love how much you care about your safety.
I'm in a dorm. We have backup electricity, you know.
All right.
Well, when the hurricanes come, they say stay in the dorm. It's fine, whatever. So I'm not really that concerned.
Just make sure to give me a cell phone call if you die, all right?
I will.
Okay.
I will.
All right. All right. So here we go. Cape number one. The best way to describe this is the first 7 pages were indescribable. As in, I had no idea what the hell was going on. Okay? Because it was so disjointed and
yes.
so impossible to follow.
Bad.
That okay. And, but my problem, my main issue with it is that once we got done with those 7 pages, I sort of liked what was going on. But I had to sit through those 7 pages.
I don't know.
And that's why I'm torn. I like the concept. I like the fact that he's a, you know, a personal assistant for a, you know, a newspaper guy who turns out to be a superhero. It's like, what would happen if Jimmy Olsen was Superman's, you know, secretary or something like that? This is what it's like. And overall, I'm just, I don't know, I really couldn't dig it. And the art was muddy.
Amateur.
At best. Yeah.
Amateur hour.
Yeah. I mean, I would expect a lot more from Boom Studios because I've heard good things about everything coming out of Boom, and I would expect a hell of a lot better on art than what we got here. Brent, obviously you agree from the sounds of your laughter.
Yes. You know, I could sum this up in a sentence and say, I'm sorry, nice try, try again. The concept was interesting, and it sounded good on the solicitations, and the cover was cool. That's why we picked it. Obviously, we didn't know what we're getting into. How can we?
The best page of art is the art of the Edge. That's the name of the character, right? The Edge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Edge.
The Edge sneaking up behind the
assistant. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sneaking up behind the assistant with his hand out. That's the best piece of art in the entire thing. I don't understand why you have to draw a night sky in one of the panels on the first page, totally purple. I mean, that was just a really weird coloring choice. Cause it,
coloring thing, yeah.
Yeah, it just didn't work for me.
You know what that sold it for me, though, was the double page splash of the hero's hideout in the cave. I thought the art there was just laughable.
Yeah.
Laughing all the way to the bank. Like, Raph and I could draw better than this, or just about the same. You know what I mean? I just really thought it was really, really piss poor for a $3.99 book.
Oh,
that should get something better than this.
Well, I think it's the inking more than anything.
It might be, but just that splash page with all the heroes and stuff is supposed to be like this really nice big establishing shot of all these characters in a cave and stuff's going on, and it just looks terrible.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't agree with you more, actually, because the
like we need to call Travis and be like, drop whatever you're doing with Sean and go over to Boom because they can use an actual good artist.
Yeah,
this series.
Raph, are you a guy who might actually like this, or are you in the same camp?
Let me say this. I read this and last week at I was sitting down reading my comics and I read another book called Superhuman Resources. My best advice to all the listeners is if you like the concept of Kate and you like the idea of it, go read Superhuman Resources. The Superhuman Resources is awesome. It's a funnier, lighter book. It's brighter. It's a lot. It's not as, I mean, Cape has a great idea going for it. I mean, it's got the superhero's assistant who the superhero wants to turn to sidekick. That's fine. It's just that you're right. The first few pages, like, they're trying to get you involved in the world and you know, to give you information about the world and, like, oh, you know, this guy, this and that. And I'm just like, but it doesn't work very well. The pacing is all off. There's not, I mean, they really could have benefited from a lot more exposition or even captions. Mm-hmm. Like, it just didn't work creatively.
Yeah.
It just looked like if the three of us got to get it right now, and said, let's do a comic, we'll put it out in a month. And the three of us did that. That's what that would be.
Dude, here we go. I got a concept, okay? Call the comic Dude.
No, but here's what didn't work for me. The solicitation that we read and why we picked this book made it sound like it was going to be a comedic book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was a funny look at superheroes, so you're an assistant. This is going to be, you know, kind of witty, kind of amusing, and that's not this at all. It's like a serious take. And I think what might have made it work better for me is rather than have this damsel in distress shit going on at the very beginning and then going, oh, I want to be a reporter. Oh, you can work for this reporter as an assistant. Surprise, this guy's just going to come out with it all and say, oh, I'm the superhero. I've never met you before, but because you signed the confidentiality agreement, it must mean you're a pretty good person. You're not going to reveal my secret to the world. Like, what the fuck is that? But okay, have it already established, like, here's a superhero. Boom, there you go. He's established just like they did with the Edge. And then boom, here's his assistant. He's been an assistant for a year. And have this be like the misadventures of the assistant, you know, a chronicling of all the funny things that have happened while he's been working for the superhero, rather than this weird plot that they have where he's starting out as an assistant and there's a world of assistants. I would have rather just been like, you know, I'm the assistant and this is what I do for the superhero on a day-to-day basis. This is my adventures, and that would have been more amusing to me than this, because it seemed really, really derivative of other superhero stuff that's going on right now.
Yeah,
and they're just trying to throw in this extra element and just have a regular superhero world. I would have rather preferred a more comedic take, and I think if the book were like that and been funnier, I would have been all right with the art being so bad.
Sorry, go ahead, Ralph.
Yeah, this comic is Kate is the comics is what My Super Ex Girlfriend is to comic book movies.
Hey, I like that movie.
I mean, that movie.
That movie was hilarious. It was fun. I liked
that's
it.
That's not what. That's all right. Maybe that's the wrong choice then, because I've heard it's bad. Like, I haven't watched it. I just haven't had a chance to.
It's amusing. If you have a sense of humor, you'll like it. You'll chuckle throughout it. I liked it.
Let me change it then. This one may be.
You might need a girlfriend to understand it, but I liked it.
Okay. No. Actually, let me put it this way. Okay. This is like Fantastic Four 2.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Another movie I liked. Come on.
No. Brian. I'm going to explain it this way. I'm hopefully going to explain it better than what Raph was just about to say. Okay. And no offense to you, Raph. Okay. Offense to you, Raph. Okay, sorry, I had to say that. No, okay, no offense. Fantastic Four 2, great premise, great idea, not so great execution.
Okay.
All right, and that's exactly what we have here with Caped. Because it's a great concept, it seems like it should be fun, it's by two of the South Park guys, which, again, going in, made us think it was going to be funny and fun and fresh and new and everything. And that's not what we got. And it feels like the execution just was not right. This is Cloud Galactus. Okay? That's what this feels like to me. It just feels like totally the opposite of what I was expecting. It's disappointment.
This could have been, like, this concept to me was so intriguing and so strong that we had to pick it, that I feel like this could be Boom's ongoing humor book.
Yes.
If they had done the humor way,
this should be Dan Slott's She-Hulk. Seriously, this should be Dan Slott's She-Hulk for Boom, and it's not.
I'm gonna make a point. Okay, I chose the wrong movie, and I had another movie in mind, and I'm gonna use it because I think it's perfect. All right, there's an Eddie Murphy comedy that took forever to come out, and it was supposed to be really funny, but it wasn't, and no one went to the movie theater to see it except me and my friend. And that movie's called Pluto Nash. Now, I don't know if you've seen Pluto Nash.
Okay.
It tries so hard to be funny, and it isn't. And at the end of the movie, my friend goes to me, "This was a great action movie." And I'm like, "It was not supposed to be an action movie. It was supposed to be a comedy." Mm-hmm. And so, like, it totally missed the point of what it was trying to do. And that's why I think Cape's execution was really off. That which you've already said, but that's a big movie analogy. Damn it.
Well, and do you really need your villains to be cheap knockoffs of Two-Face and Riddler?
No. It's so tired, really. It's so cliche. I mean, you got to be a little more original than that, especially when it comes to superhero movies. It's been around for so long. We'll read like 30, 40, 50 of them a month. Come on.
If you want an interesting new take on superheroes, read Incognito.
Seriously.
All right, because that's a quote-unquote indie book. I know it's out of Icon, whatever. That really works as a concept. This is just not working for me. And it's another book that, okay, this is $3.99 right here. This book was not worth $3.99.
Hell no.
Not at all.
Okay? Because when I buy an indie book for $3.99, I'm expecting a book with, you know, deep, rich colors and good inking that makes me actually really want to, you know, flip to the next page. And that's not what the coloring or the inking brought to this process. I could have done without the colors. Give me a freaking black and white for $250. And I probably would have picked it up and said, all right, at least I tried. But I just paid $399 for this book. I picked it as a pick. We picked it as a pick for the review corner. And now I feel like I just said, I have to say, I'm sorry to anybody who picked it up. That's not a good way to go.
I'm sorry. They can't all be winners.
Yeah, like Akihabara Deep. They can't all be winners like that. You know?
Raph, did you read that?
I haven't read it yet.
That's because twice in a row you left my apartment without it.
That is twice in a row. That's right. Well,
I'm thinking that
of
our listenership, we're the only ones that read it. Me and Ian.
I mean, I can get it from work. I mean, come on. Ever. I'll pick it up. I'll look at it.
I still need volume 2. I guess I'll get it at Otakon or something. I don't know.
I still want our listeners to tell us if they read it or not.
Yeah, please. And listeners, okay? We love you.
I posted a thread right as when we were recording the episode and still nothing.
We totally love you, listeners, but please, okay? And we know you're out there. I see you guys downloading the frickin' episodes. Unless you just download the episodes out of pity and don't actually listen to them, because if you do, what the hell? But please send us a voicemail at Scary Monkey Show on Skype, and please let us know. Or please audio comment, comictiming@gmail.com, or email comictiming@gmail.com,
or post
on
the forum in that thread that I
please,
put up.
Please, thank you. Let us know what you think about these books so that it doesn't feel like we're just talking to air, and that's going to make me a very happy person, okay? I don't feel like begging, but that feels like what I'm doing right here. Let us know. Let us know you're out there, people, because I know you are. All right? End of line.
All right.
Can we please give this thing a proper burial?
1.
Raph?
Wow. I guess I'm going to be the generous one. I'm going to go with 2 just because I like the concept so much.
1.5 and read Superhuman Resources.
Yes, definitely. That book is so awesome. I love it.
Yeah. I'm actually feeling like we made a mistake and we should have just picked Superhuman Resources as one of the picks once upon a time.
Like, I thought this was going to be like Paul Jenkins' Sidekicked or something like that.
Yes.
And that's a humor book, isn't it?
Yes.
I was thinking this is going to be similar to that, so I figured I want to read that book. Well, here's one. Maybe, well, let's try it.
Okay. And again, I don't want to keep comparing this to other things, but the establishing shot of this huge superhero lair, that 2-page spread, it really should have been more like something out of Top 10, where we see Top 10's, you know, headquarters for the first time. Double-page spread. Gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
I thought it was funny. It's like, this place is costing me millions. It's an empty fucking tunnel. And then the next panel, they're walking towards the vehicles, and I'm like, oh, that's where the money's going, but you didn't see that when it dropped down the ladder.
Yeah.
It's costing you millions. Well, how much digging have you been doing, dude?
No.
Never put anything in it.
How about this? This thing is costing you millions. Really? And you can't afford halogen lamps? I can write this book. Seriously. That's it. Fuck it. I'm going to rewrite this whole freaking book. All right? Because it feels like I'm funnier than these people.
Be the Comic Timing Creative Project.
Yes. All right. I think we're all said and done here. I think we've done it. So next episode, next review corner, we will hopefully have 3 books for you, maybe 4. Because I don't know when Neil Gaiman's part 2 is going to come out.
April 28th, I think.
April 28th? Okay. Yeah. And G-Man will come out eventually.
Eventually.
If not, we'll be doing April's books. That's cool.
Hi-yo. All right. Hey, Mr. Suhu, where can they find you?
You can find me and my consortium of podcasts, the Geek Shenanigans Network, at geekshenanigansnetwork.com. I do host a host of podcasts, including not exclusively comics. We do talk about movies and sports with the host of the Sporting Goods, Ian Levinstein. Oh, wait, that's you, Ian.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's totally different, Ian. I mean, that Ian's a douchebag anyway. He doesn't know anything about sports.
But only if you're interested in New York sports, because you didn't talk about any other sports.
Well, come on.
If you want me to, I can say that the Gators do have a strong football program and that the Orlando Magic are going
to. I was waiting for you to get to the Percy Harvin comment where you were like, "And Brent doesn't have anything to talk about with Percy Harvin." But I didn't get that far because you're still like, "Well, we're talking about New York because New York's all we know. We're talking about New York because New York's all we know." And I was waiting for you to move on after that, and then didn't. So it's probably later on in that episode.
We're gonna try our best to be a little more national. All right, we're gonna try our best. But
there's a sports page for a reason.
Yes. Yes.
And there's a whole channel about sports.
Yeah.
They rerun SportsCenter 5 times a day for some reason.
Give people
just
some.
Once is not enough.
All right. We get the point, Brent. All right. Thank you. All right. At least 400 people downloaded the episode, so let's be happy about that. But, Raph, let people know what's upcoming on Geeks Unite.
All right, well, upcoming on the Geeks Unite Network, I am going to be debuting a solo show, which will try to be a sort of a humorous news show where I'm going to do news and reviews. I'm totally ripping off.
Is this about being a Chinese food delivery man?
That might be one coming up in the future, The Adventures of Tang and the Magic Delivery Service.
No, I'm talking about not shit you make up. I'm talking about your real life experience.
Oh wait, hold on. Come on, have a fight. You want a fight? Okay. Make right now. Okay.
It's good to know that Chinese places are still open at 12:30 in New York.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they're open. We're open 24/7 because we don't sleep. All we do is work. We work so hard.
He actually lives in a fryer.
We push our children so hard to get.
I'm amazed he has a bed to sleep on with all those toys that are in his room.
Yeah, I know. And a very small TV that happens to be HD, which is good.
We should call Raph the new Ian.
Oh,
wait, my room's twice as big as his old room. So no worries.
But still just as cramped, so I don't see the plus side here.
I sleep very comfortably. That stuff is actually in crates now. It's been a while since that photo was taken.
So Raph, what is this new show called?
We're still working on the name of it. It just may just fall into the comic book pundit standard, which I've already built up on the thread, on the forum, and on the website. So it's just going to fall in there for now. It's the comic book pundit show. Also, we're going to do another sporting goods probably around the time we go to Yankee Stadium, just to talk about the new stadium and what's going on in baseball and other stuff. And, a handful of episodes here and there.
Are Raph and Danny still around, or...?
Are Raph and Danny still around? You mean
Juan? Sorry, Juan Jorge Alejandro de Jesus Consuela Bogueta Cujo Pantene Cuchi Wuchi.
So he's starting to sell in there. He's going to get back to me on his schedule, and I'll probably include him on more shows after that. He's also going to be debuting a video game show with Leroy. Ziggo from Comic Tube. So
doesn't he have his own show too?
Yeah. Everyone can have a show. I just put it on my feed. That's all. I could take this show and put it on the feed and just call it something. I don't know. Not really. I can't do
but
that.
But that's not going to happen because you're not going to get
not
the file.
Not going to happen.
No, not at all. I don't have a... Yeah, anyway.
Well,
yeah.
check it out, geeksunitednetwork.com. That took way too long. All right. Brent... BK's Bullets, what's the deal?
Actually, I watched the Wonder Woman animated DVD the past weekend. I was babysitting Amanda's dog at her apartment, so I was watching it there. And it was so good, I had my laptop, and I had to grab her headset, which is better than mine. And I had to call Sean and leave him a voicemail. It was so good.
Nice.
No, I didn't call him and leave him a voicemail. I actually sent in a good audio file, so it's good audio, not a... but there's no background music. It's like 8 minutes long. I recorded it, so that should be on the next episode of Raging Bullets.
So that's or next year, right?
Right. Okay. So, but I figured it was pretty recent because they haven't talked about it yet. So
that would be the unofficial BK's Bullets.
Yeah. But I was thinking for our next episode, rather than just doing another review corner, maybe we could talk about the Wonder Woman movie, the Hulk animated movie. And maybe Watchmen because we didn't do a Watchmen episode or something.
Yeah, everybody did a Watchmen episode.
That's right. Well, that's why I'm trying to focus on these other two things as well.
All right, cool. Well, I'm probably going to be ordering. I mean, even though I saw Wonder Woman, at the New York Comic Con premiere, I'm probably going to be getting a DVD of it from Amazon sometime soon if I can actually remember to actually order it.
I'll say that the 2-disc version is kind of not worth it, but
it's just that the episode of Justice League or whatever, right?
No, it's got some. It's got two documentaries on there. One's about like all the myths and stuff. Like mm-hmm. It does profiles on the gods. And the other one's about creating Wonder Woman in that time, which is actually pretty interesting, about William Moulton Marston.
And isn't there the Green Lantern preview also?
Yeah, that's on the first disc.
Okay, cool. All right.
First disc.
All right, well, if anything, then I might just get the one. But sometimes I just buy the two just so I can have some random episodes of JLU.
Yeah, but well, I've got the JLU set, so yeah. I figured.
Is the JLU set in widescreen?
No, they're. Yeah, they are. They are.
They are? Okay, in that case, then yes, screw it, because I was really pissed that the New Frontier Justice League episodes that were included on that are not in widescreen.
I think they're in widescreen.
Nope. Nope.
No, not the New Frontier. I'm talking about the DVDs.
Oh, the DVDs. Okay.
Because I have the JLU sets. And I think they're in widescreen, yes. Because they're originally presented that way, aren't they?
They were presented both ways. I remember that. Like one airing would be in widescreen, and then they would air it again in full screen originally. And then eventually they switched the to...
I'm pretty sure they're in widescreen. So.
Okay. All right. Okay. In that case, I will just get the JLU sets eventually. But okay. So yeah, we'll probably have to do that as an episode. Maybe if not next week, then maybe the week after. All good?
All good.
Right on. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So we are once again brought to you by Heroes Corner over at heroescorner.com. Insert Heroes Corner promo here. And make sure to use the promo code CTROCKS, that's CTROCKS, to get an additional 5% off on your first order with Heroes Corner. That is for first-time customers only. Best damn customer service around at heroescorner.com, not Midtown Comics. All right, the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Oh, snap. Don't forget to check out the forums over at comicforums.com. We're actually hosted by Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We're proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com and members of the League of Comic Book Podcasts over at comicbooknoise.com/league. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley, and please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes and your voicemails at Scary Monkey Show on Skype or audio comments at comictiming@gmail.com. And for Mr. Suhu, yes, I am actually thanking you, Raph.
It was a pleasure, because I'm Batman.
And Brent. Hi.
I got a job.
Yay! And as always, time for employment and comics. That's true, yeah. I'm thinking, yeah, maybe we could pick an actual Wildstorm or Vertigo book for the non-independent book and actually pick a real independent. Wait, but I'm trying to think. We did a
Barack the Barbarian's got to be your independent pick. Come on, Barack the Barbarian.
Not if my life depended on it.
Did you hear? Oh, seriously, that hurt my head.
No, I heard about it. I just wish I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, I know. It's my head to look at it.
It's really fucking terrible, man. I know that like they're trying to do like the non-traditional Obama book, but that's just that's cutting it a little close.
The Obama comic book has jumped the shark.
Sorry. Yeah, sweet. Oh, and yo, I finally brought all of my Aeroflex from my house. You know, it only took me like 4 months of living here, but I finally actually brought everything. So now I've got all my DCs on one side and all my Marvels on the other because I'm a moron like that.
Are you going to do a new video now that all the shit's moved in?
Probably will, actually.
Because I was just looking at your empty apartment, like right before, I was really bored.
Yes, I should probably do a do one where I actually show people what this looks like now. It actually looks lived in. Hey,
I've seen it. It's over. Yeah. It's jumped the shark.
Oh, shut up.
Okay, DC, we could do a Final Crisis Aftermath, one of those books.
That's true. That's a possibility. Any of those you actually want to pick up?
No. Red Robin I want to pick up, but that's a
good one. That's loose. That's a loose.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
That's a Batman.
Yeah, let me hold on. Let me actually open it up previews just so I can see right now because I haven't actually looked at it yet.
Do you want me to shoot you the DC link? I'm looking at it right now.
No, I got it. It's open in my email anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the Booster Gold 21 looks good because Batman's on it, and the Mike Norton Blue Beetle backups in there.
Yeah.
Brave and the Bold, Howard Porter, Static, and JLA. Yeah, Black Lightning and Static Shock.
Have you guys done Brave GL?
No, we haven't.
No, we haven't. We haven't even done GL Core, have we?
No. I would pick, I don't know, I mean, Core comes out more regularly than GL. Because, well, I guess at a certain point, we're going to do Blackest Night, I guess.
Yes.
That's a gift.
Yes, that is a gift.
So maybe we could save... Well, that's kind of a separate thing. I don't know.
Hold on.
Power Girl, Last Days of Animal Man, Rebels. I heard that was really good.
Rebels is really good.
But I have not been reading it. Secret Six is supposed to be really good, but I have not been reading it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Solomon Grundy looks like shit, so I'm not going to read it.
Yeah, I'm not picking that up.
Teen Titans. I don't know. I don't know if that's the new team or not.
Well,
it's a new team.
I'm sort of annoyed because McKeever's writing the backup. But that's because of the whole...
I was loving his shit on Teen Titans.
I know, but they sort of forced him off again with that same shit. Where, like, they were telling him like 800 things to do, and you know, eventually it was just like, you know what, screw it, I can't do this anymore. That's basically what he said in the most recent interview we did.
I didn't read that.
I think it was more of a fuck this shit.
You know what? Fuck it. Wonder Woman 33. It's part 8 of 8 of Rise of the Olympian.
It's an 8-part series?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I hope that's pretty good by then, because I'm pretty slow going, sir.
Yeah, I know. I'm like 3 weeks. I'm 3 months behind on Wonder Woman.
I just read the recent one that was
the newest one.
Okay.
Starting to pick it up, yeah.
Okay. The reason I'm 3 months behind is because the last issue I read took me like 4 hours to read because I kept putting it down because I'm so
well, bored. We've had 5 fucking parts, and the Olympian just was created this in the most recent issue.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's padding it a little bit.
Yeah.
And
we could always do Hellblazer. I've never read any Hellblazer.
Neither have I.
Oh, your independent has to be T-Runt by Image Comics.
Why?
Because it's awesome.
House of Mystery, I've never read any of those. Northlanders, Scalped, I never read any of that.
You know what? Yeah, fuck it. Why don't we just make Hellblazer our DC pick?
Alright. Those are one and done, aren't they? Most time?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see who's writing.
It's part one
Peter
of Resurrection.
Swing.
Yeah, I'm all for a Milligan.
Okay.
Right. It's the first part of a new storyline, so
cool.
Good timing.
All right.
Impeccable timing.
Comic time.
And
let's see. What else? You know, it's so much easier to record without you in a room, Raf. I just have to say that.
Batting number 2. Derek Jeter. All right,
let's see. What else? Dynamo 5? Nah, I never read that, so I wouldn't say that. Great Unknown, Invincible. Is it sad that I've never read an Invincible in my life?
Wow.
Invincible is really good right now.
Yeah.
Is it easy to jump on?
Probably not. Yeah, I think I haven't read the last 3 issues, but I think they're really into something going on here, I think. So.
Okay. Let's see. Soul Kiss, haven't been reading, so skip it. Viking. Walking Dead. No. Youngblood number 10. That's it. Art and cover by Rob Liefeld. Woohoo! Berserker.
So Liefeld took over his book again?
Yeah.
Kicked off Derek Donovan and what's his face?
Mm-hmm.
That's sad.
It's sad that he still thinks he can draw. That's what's sad. It's like no one's like stood in his face and gone like, dude, seriously, look at yourself. Look at what you draw.
Wait, who were you talking about? Larry Stroman?
Oh, that would be another one. Ooh, how about Green Llama, Man of Strength? It's $7.95, never mind. Fuck. Yeah, damn it, I want to pick something cheap.
That looks kind of neat. Comic books in magazine boxes.
Oh, how about the Blue Lantern hoodie?
Yes, I'd love to review the Blue Lantern hoodie. Why, thank you, Raph, for the wonderful
It's nice,
experience.
It's soft, and it covers me, and it's a hoodie.
What was that you were talking about, Brad?
No, I'm looking at, here, I'll just link it. Hassan T's, I'm on the comic book page forums, because that's where I can find all the previous files, not that they're ever on there for real reasons anyway.
Ooh. Excuse me a moment, I have to be a man. Ugh. No, I'm not masturbating, just so you guys know. I'm trying to open up a jar of salsa.
Okay.
you masturbate into the salsa.
Yeah,
kind of a weird consistency flavor.
Your jar is open. Bye. See you later.
You're having sex with the jar now.
Oh. Hey, the jar is a jar. Alright. Yeah, what the fuck is this? Captain Blood Odyssey number 1? All Peter Blood wanted was to be left alone. A doctor living in 17th century England. Yeah, never mind.
Now he's a captain.
Yeah, terrific. Maybe we should just read Bad Kids Go to Hell number 1. Just for the name.
Did you pick up your redeemable?
I did not. No, I'm waiting for trade. I'm waiting for trade.
Definitely pick up the trade. Anna Murphy 2, number 1. Executive assistant Iris, number 1.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we're also reviewing Caped on this issue, Raph. So if you read it, you can join in. If not, you can just ask.
Yeah, I read it. You did? I read it. All right.
Cable X-Force Messiah War number 1, are we doing that one too?
Save it for
that came
time.
Out
yeah,
this
I,
month
I know but it depends on whether you want to do an extra long episode or wait until other issues that we were supposed to review come out.
That's fine because this will be caught up because the only one we're missing now is Detective and G-Man.
Yeah,
and it'll be when those come out it'll just be extra long, so I just say we could just do it.
Just do wait so you do one for
I'm
the
saying
Messiah?
Do them all. Yeah,
alright, in that case let me go grab it.
Hoping you've read it.
What's this even? More Dark Knight action figures featuring the likeness of the Joker way after his death?
Where's that?
Oh, it's on page 354.
Oh, I'm don't use that.
Luckily, I actually read this.
It's an action figure.
Yeah, I didn't know if you read it yet.
Yeah. No, I read it as like my before I go to sleep book like a couple days ago. Ooh, you know what? Maybe we should do Land of the Lost number 1.
Yeah, I was thinking about picking that up.
Hey, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. Could be fun.
Land of the Lost!
Or it could be yet another book that Brent hates, which, you know, I always enjoy picking.
What's apparently based on the... It's going to be based on the...
well, you're going to get that tonight, so... Who knows?
Oh, fuck. Which
you
one?
You know what? I did not read Dark Hawk recently. I haven't read it in a month.
Yeah, okay.
So I might be a little rusty.
It was a fistful of awesome.
Of course it was, Rob. All right, so to review, we're doing Runaways. What was the DC pick was Hellblazer, right?
Sure.
All right, and Land of the Lost.
Sure. That's such a definitive answer.
Yeah.
Sure.
I love it when you're very firm on your decisions. All right. It's episode 88.
Yes. Wow, 12 more to 100. What are you going to do?
Probably an episode.
Oh, you know, that's a great idea. I think I should do that. I think I'm going to do that too with mine eventually.
Well, I'm thinking I'm going to be in studio for the Fixers 100.
I don't know if I can because it's a Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday.
See the devil himself take on the Reverend Muncie. All right. Yeah, let me just pause you guys for a sec. Damn you, new thing! All right, call, hold. Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're doing 4 books, and it's episode 88. Right on. Oh, yeah, and the reasoning I was a little late was because, like I said, Chris just got home, and her dad was in the hospital. He had surgery. It was, she had it, I think the way she described it, he had a very light heart attack a couple weeks ago, and they were doing aorta surgery or something like that, artery surgery.
I didn't know there's such a thing as a light heart attack.
Well, it's a type of one that, like, you know, isn't that terrible, but is still something you gotta look after. He did one of the surgeries to remove, like, one of the blockages today, so. He's okay. That's the important thing.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Count it down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to 88. Well, great.
Hey.
Welcome to 88 episodes of Comic Timing. Here, I'm going to play them all.
Consecutive.
Please wait while you sit here for the next month. All right.
It's 88 episodes long. So put it on in your sleep. You'll get...
That's like 2,000 references of my parents are dead.
Subliminal comicking.
No, it's great. It's like one of those things where like you learn how to speak Spanish. You put it on while you're sleeping, and then by the end, the only thing you could say is, my parents are dead.
In 50 different languages.
Sí.
Padres es muerte.
Say it in Chinese now. You're ashamed of your people.
Fried rice, bing, bong, bing. There we go, he said it.
Throw some fans down the stairs. And
no, actually, combo number 5 is actually Dead Bear.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Boom, boom, boom.
Hey there, folks. Yeah. Rap.
Ruined it.
Yeah, thanks, Rap. I'm not the one editing this. That's why I do the actual opening.
All right.
Hey-o.
Right, go already.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Rap dropped again.
Okay, that's fine with me. We'll do his book next. Ah, Skittles. Taste the rainbow. Oh, it did drop. It, like, disappeared. I wonder if it says, unable to chat. Ralph, hello. Actually, I'm going to stop singing and take this moment to plug an album that I've been listening to nonstop. And Raph, you can type, but you can't chat. So, or you can chat, but why aren't you talking? But yeah, Mastodon, Crack the Sky, amazing metal album. I'll just say it right now. I bought the special edition, which comes with the score, which basically is all the music minus the lyrics. So like all the instrumental songs, and I can't wait to listen to that. But I've been listening to the main album for the past 2 days. So Mastodon, Crack the Sky, go check it out. It's fucking awesome. And I hear Ian coming back, or unless that's Raph. So anybody, this could be great bloopers. I'm just gonna leave all this in.
Really?
No. In the back. Leave it all in the back.
What the hell were you talking about while I was gone?
I was plugging the new Mastodon album.
Oh.
This is awesome.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Crack the Sky. So I figured I'd throw it out there since no one was there.
Rap, your internet sucks.
Is that what it is? I totally forgot about that.
I assume so. Oh, great. Wow. He just dropped
it. He still has a check mark on his Skype, though, but there's like his image is blocked out. Maybe is he on hold, and now it's like ringing. Why don't you pick it up?
No, I did. That's because I just tried calling him again. He just hung up. He dropped.
Oh, that's what the icon's for.
Yeah.
Okay. He typed in a message once.
Yeah, like a minute.
No? Let's call his cell phone.
Yeah.
It's on Skype. We'll just do it that way.
Yeah, now he's not actually listed as on Skype. So, yeah.
He's on mine.
He's got the white circle.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I don't know, man. Well, he's got the symbol that you know what the white symbol means? It's a white symbol with a check. That means that he's got voicemail, but it's not actually on. They changed that one.
I know, I've noticed that with Waylon, but Raph still has a green fill-in circle on mine, but that's happened before with him, actually, I think. That's really weird that I don't hear the brrrr on my end. Now I hear it. But I didn't for the Skype call, though. Oh, now I have the white circle. You're right, Dad.
Watch, he's totally not gonna pick up because he probably turned the circle off.
Somebody probably called for takeout. So.
Number 7.
You reach Raphael Suhu at 646.
He's probably turned it off.
8284.
Alright, screw it. Caped? We'll hold off on Darkhawk till he comes back, I guess. We'll try it again. That's what she said.
Woo! Fucking ER finale made no offense.
Yep.
You. What the fuck, man?
I don't know what happened, but the internet's wonky, so I turned it off and I reset the computer.
All right, well, whatever. You're on the phone now.
Okay, cool.
All right. And I'm happy to see that even cell phones sound better now with 4.0.
I know. It sounds so clear now. It does appear in the room right here with me. We were all taped in the mouth.
Wow, you were all over this episode because even you messed up the end, which you never do.
I know. The fuck?
You're on your, like, game.
I'm sorry, dude.
What? No. Last time I messed up the ending was at freaking MegaCon. That's because I had 3 beers in me.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
So you got a new job? What's going on?
It's grunt work, but it's for like 3 months or so. Maybe.
Are you building the new
months.
Stadium?
Yes, I'm going to build the new stadium. Thank you very much, Brent. Yes. No, I'm going to be helping out. And again, this isn't 100% yet, but it's like 95%. I'm going to be.
Wait, you're working on stadium?
Yes, I am, Raph. Thank you. Oh. Damn it! Why you got to put ideas in Raph's head, Brent? Why you got to do that? I'm going to be packing books for a library for like for like $15 an hour, 20 to 30 hours a week. So that's going to be
that's
about,
solid.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
That's like 40 hours a week at APUC, so hey.
Exactly. So that's why I'm very happy, and that'll get me at least $1,200 a month, and that'll make me live. So that works, because right now I'm making about $900 a month.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
So are you totally done with Pokemon then?
At least for now. I haven't put in my notice yet because I don't know for certain that this job is happening. But my friend who was doing this job gets a full-time job there as of next week. And they have to hire somebody, and I'm on the top of the list.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, again, it's not like a permanent thing, but at least it'll be two or 3 months, and it'll give me enough money for Comic-Con.
Cool.
Yeah. New York, San Diego, woohoo, San Diego Comic-Con, woo!
Hopefully you'll find a real job.
That would be super.
Eventually.
Oh,
but
I might be doing part-time work for a comic blog, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I thought you were doing that web website, like Wikipedia type thing.
For
a while.
Oh, yeah, Mahalo? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a while ago. But, no, I mean, this is an actual comic book blog. I didn't even know that this thing fucking existed, but they posted on Craigslist, comicbook.com.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I went to it once because someone had linked to it or something.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't really try to look at it, but I saw for like a few seconds.
Yeah. Because they were looking for a blogger on Craigslist, and I was like, okay, I use WordPress and I'm a blogger. Love me. So hopefully I will get a job with them, and you know, that'll be a little more cash. So, yay. Work.
Cool.
Yep. And hooray for you having money so you can actually go on trips.
Yes, you should be seeing a lot more of me in a year.
Yes, we'll even buy a cot. So you don't have to pay hotel fees.
I'm saying I could actually pay a hotel fee rather than being like, yeah, I'm going to totally jip you.
Guys, hello?
Oh,
and I get to sleep in a bed because the other guy didn't show up.
Oh.
Like, and not pay for it.
Speaking of other guy, Travis sent me a money order.
He did?
Yeah, $110.
That was really nice of him.
Yeah, I know. Well,
that's awesome.
Well, he's a good guy, and I mean, he just got engaged, and he just sold...
I totally would have been like, no, dude, sorry.
Dude, did you see how much money he sold his fucking collected editions for on eBay?
Oh, is that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Miracle Man shit?
Yeah.
Holy cow, yeah.
I mean, basically, when he posted that, I mean, I posted as one of the responses, yeah, I'm glad I'm glad he's able to get so much money for that.
He owed me money.
Because he owes me money.
Hey, where's
my money, man? Where's my money?
Yeah. All right.
Good.
Yeah. All right, I want to go switch.
About binding, like, everything, seriously.
Really?
Pretty much, because I'm looking at the binding forms a lot lately, and I'm like, okay, I'll just wait patiently till they get a Batman stamp, and then I'll bind Batman. Because I've I've got the Winnick run, and I can do all this stuff with Battle for the Cowl. I'm going to do Nyquist. That's a given. I'm thinking like Blue Beetle. I'm going to reread that at some point eventually. That'd be a nice bound volume. It's only like 36 issues or two volumes or whatever. I'm thinking like, you know, because I'm already getting sick of boxes, basically. Because I have room under my desk at home in Orlando for 6 short boxes.
Yeah.
And I'm at 7 now full of comics. I'm filling up at 8th here at the dorm. And I've got two short boxes as well full of trades that already don't fit on my bookshelf.
Yeah. Well, I've got a bookshelf. I've got 4 long boxes. I've got like 1 short box. And I've got like 3 file cases full of comics. And I've got actual boxes filled with comics. So I would love to start finding shit eventually when I actually have the money for it. Because, dude, I mean, like...
3 small boxes, 2 plastic cases, and 2 milk crates.
Wait, how many long boxes?
8.
8? Okay, wow. Damn.
That's
all older stuff, okay. I would have about 8 if I were to put everything in long boxes, but for now I just have 4 long boxes stacked upon each other.
Because, I mean, honestly, nothing is going to come of these comics, like, value-wise anyway.
Really? Yeah, that's why I buy comics.
Yeah. Now, I know that's not why I buy them, but just, like, thinking about it, like... Yeah, they'll make a movie, but the price is not going to go up so insane that I'm
going to buy my electric blue shit off of me. And I don't want anyone to buy my electric blue Superman off of me. I want to hold on. I mean, those are my first comics.
He kisses his electric blue before he goes to sleep.
I know.
Oh, yes, I do. I have the DC Universe action figure right over my head right now, actually.
I want that one. I have the red one. I want both of them.
Dude, one of my geekiest things that I did in my room here is I've got my my Harley. I've got a Harley Quinn and a Joker, standing, and the Joker is standing directly over Hero Clicks of Batman. Batman and Robin. So it sort of looks a little bit like a really messed up comic cover with a giant Joker like hovering over Batman and Robin. I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Alright, I'm gonna go switch computers and send this file to Brent. So,
alright, cool.
I will talk to you dudes later.
Alright, later.
Yeah, and Raph, I'll give you a buzz when I get the tickets, because actually, I gotta go to the frickin' FedEx Center tomorrow to pick them up.
Okay. Right. Dark cock.
Yes.
Bye, Raph.
Laters.
Alright, see you guys.
Mandy says hi, Raph. She missed you this year. You too, Ian. But you must have been there.
Yes, I do. Later.
Later.